The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 17th day of July, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 160 points, the S&P up 16, comp up 38, gold down $4.70, and crude up 34 cents a barrel. Stocks are definitely rallying today ahead of the Fed coming on Wednesday. Now, why would stocks rally ahead of the Fed? When the word on the street, 7 out of 10 economists suggest or forecast, or better yet, warn, that come fall, the Fed is going to taper back on the easy money policy. What does that really mean? Well, nobody knows. Not even the Fed at this point, I don't think. We'll find out. We'll see what sort of language we get on the Fed announcement this week. We don't expect interest rates to go up or down. What we'll look for carefully or listen to very carefully is the wording that accompanies the announcement to try to get an idea of what the Fed is planning to do, how soon, and what sort of a benchmark they're using. We were given a benchmark of the unemployment rate some time ago, but it was a little nebulous. It wasn't crystal clear what exact number they were looking for. Maybe with the announcement this week, we'll get a clearer picture of exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to measure it. yesterday, Father's Day. I hope you had a great one, whether you're a father or got to go see your father. And for those of you who in our audience, maybe your dad's already gone home to be with your Heavenly Father, and so you think about him on Father's Day and you have great memories. But I know that for some of us, not myself, but there are those in our audience whose memories of childhood and dad might not be the best. I want to encourage you to forgive dad, whatever he did. Just, you know what? Forgive him. Whatever may have happened, I'm not taking that lightly. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying, you're a prisoner of your unforgiveness. You're not hurting him, whoever he is and wherever he might be now, still walking the face of the earth or moved on. Set yourself free with forgiveness, okay? And just know that no matter what sort of earthly father life dealt you, you've got a heavenly father that loves you very much. That's where you're going to spend eternity, and that's what's really important. So, with that said, if you're brand new to this radio program, welcome. Glad to have you with us. Make yourself at home. If you have any questions about anything, just type them into the chat box. The only ones who can see what you type into the chat box are myself, Michael, and Bert when he's in the room. Bert is our broker at Daniel's Trading. You have anonymity if it's something sensitive. If it's not, then we like to be able to say, Pete in Cleveland says, so, you know, I'm pretty good at judging whether you would want your name used or not. And so don't hesitate, just type away. Now, if you can't see the chat box, that means you're not fully logged in. You're just listening to the radio broadcast. And that's okay if you want to do that. If you want to be able to see the charts and participate in the discussion, ask questions, what you need to do is go to the homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click the big microphone, follow the instructions, you'll be registered. You only have to register once each month. We'll all be registering again come July 1st. But follow that, you'll be in with the rest of us, you'll be able to see the charts, and participate in the discussion. The chart I have up right now is the S&P 500 E-mini futures. We had a great tweet last night. The market was very kind to us, times two, and we'll get into that in just a moment. What a great way to start the week. We were able to meet half of our weekly goal in one tweet on a Sunday night on Globex. So we'll get into that. Also got a couple headlines to share with you this morning. Oh, we'll talk about Siri. We'll talk about ICE. We'll talk about Microsoft. We'll talk about WebVan, iTunes Radio, Kickstarter, Facebook, and Kanye West. That's a lot. We probably won't get to all of those at the beginning of the show, but throughout the radio program, we'll see if we can't work them all in, because I think they're all worth talking about just a little bit. When I've finished both with our good word for the day, the chart in front of me, and those headlines, we'll go to Michael, who will recap everything that happened this morning in the live trading room. If you're new, it's easy to get confused. We have two separate activities each and every day. We have a live trading room that goes from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. If you would like to be a part of the live trading room, if you'd like to take a free trial, I'll ask Michael if he would type into the chat box right now the link, cfrn.net/apply. Follow that. You'll be able to take advantage of the free trial, spend 5 days in the trading room, download our platform, use our proprietary indicators, and ask lots of questions. We encourage that. Lots and lots of questions. That means you really do want to learn how to trade. And if you really do want to learn how to trade, then we really want to help you learn. And we'll do everything that we can. After the live trading room, we take a 30-minute break, and then we come to the radio show. 2 hours of the stuff that made us famous. We're now in our 8th year of broadcast. 8 years. My, how time flies. And I actually wrote a little bit about it last night on the Prayer Breakfast blog. We gather every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Small group of us. We gather for a time of devotion and prayer. We take turns sharing a little scripture and just praying, basically, before the markets open. This has nothing to do with trading. You don't have to be a trader to come. And I'll also ask Michael if he could put that link in the chat box as well. It's cfrn.net/traders-prayer-breakfast. Traders Prayer Breakfast. Okay. All right. Let's get to our good word for the day. And today it comes from Matthew 6:33. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Now, our good word for the day has to do today with Christianity in the workplace. Some would say it has no place in the workplace. And some would disagree. I don't want to argue. I just want to share with you a story about someone and about a company. Just as I shared a little about myself and our company last night, and if you want to know more about who we are and why we exist and how we came to have the name that we have, you can Google God Chasers and E-Mini Traders. A little article I wrote, it floats around the net, kind of gives you the backstory, if you will. All right, back to our good word for the day. Practicing Christianity inside the walls of the church is one thing. In fact, it's probably the easiest place to act Christ-like, and that's what a Christian is supposed to do, act Christ-like. Practicing Christianity in the secular workplace is an altogether different thing. Now, the following story is about a company who has refused to compromise their Christian principles, regardless of what the world says, and quite frankly, it's got them in a little bit of hot water. You know who I'm talking about, probably. Chick-fil-A has grown to be the largest chicken chain in America. Some would say it's the food. Others would point to the clever advertising. And I gotta say, and I'm a person who loves advertising, I like to watch the Clios every year, the way some folks watch the Emmys. I watch the Clios. Clios are the awards given for great commercials. I know most people hate commercials, but I love a great commercial. A great commercial. Now, you may have seen the billboards. It's got two cows, two three-dimensional, like, cow statues, and they're painting this billboard, and it says, "Eat more chicken." I don't know. It's pretty funny. I laughed out loud the first time I drove past one of those billboards. Now, the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, has a little bit of a different view than some CEOs. He declares that the secret of his success is the company's high quality of people and their attention to customer service. Now, how do they attract this high caliber of people? Well, Truett says it goes back to Chick-fil-A being closed on Sundays. Truett believes that everyone should have a day off every week, a day for church, a day for rest, a day to just enjoy quality time with your family. Restaurant professionals appreciate that lifestyle and are attracted to the Chick-fil-A company. Accordingly, Chick-fil-A has attracted outstanding teams. Many industry experts will say that the people who work for Chick-fil-A, the professionals, are the best in the food industry. Now, what do the employees say? Well, in an industry known for its high turnover rate, 50% annual turnover for managers is not unusual in the food service industry. Chick-fil-A experiences a turnover rate of just 3%. Think about that. 50% compared to just 3%. Now, Truett says it was not hard to decide to close on Sunday. Dan Caffey, who is the president and COO of the company, says that Jesus did not die for a company. He died for individuals personally. The company wants to operate on biblical principles and acknowledge the Lord in all ways. Now, that's what I call putting God first, even in business. And that's our good word for the day. Don't think it doesn't cost a pretty penny to shut that machine down for an entire day. It does. But they have decided to stand on a principle that they feel is more important than the almighty dollar. So, now me, I'm guilty of working on Sunday if there's such a thing as being guilty. I mean, I come in and I, on Sundays when I'm available, I tweet the Globex Open. Okay, I tweeted the Globex Open last night. In fact, I'll show you exactly what I was up to. While you perhaps were still enjoying your Father's Day, I had enjoyed mine. Went out with my wife and kids. They got me a brand new iPhone 5, which I'm very excited about. I was still running a 3G, which is almost a museum piece these days. It's nice and quick and light, and I haven't had a chance to fully explore it yet, but I know I'm going to enjoy it. And then they took me for a fine feast at the Quickie Wow Chow. Where's the Wow Chow? Right here is the Quickie Wow Chow picture. Using one of the awesome filters that comes, it's sort of like an Instagram kind of a filter, but it's right built right into the phone, and so once you snap a shot, you can go through the filters and decide, you know, if you want to use a filter or not. Sometimes you can overdo it with the whole filter business. Now, the tweet I sent out after I finished my Quickie Wow Chow Father's Day dinner, I came home, sat down, I began to calculate the weekly trading zones, and a trade presented itself. I sent out a reminder, September contract on all E-minis. Consider being long about 1625 or short below 1616, whichever presents first. Now, this hashtag here, this alerts all CFRN partners to the fact that the tweet has a trade recommendation in it. Okay? All right. Also, for those of you that follow on Seeking Alpha, the message went out there. And for those of you that follow us on Facebook, now, I'm going to put this into the chat box. I really would appreciate it if you guys find the time to come over and follow us on this Facebook page. And let me get that in the chat box here. Because what happened is somehow my Twitter feed and all the other things I do, they got hooked up to my personal Facebook page. And, well, that confuses Mom. She doesn't understand why I send her this stuff. So I'm trying to get everything redirected over to the business Facebook page. So that link I just put in, if you would click that, follow that, like that, kind of get the new page. It's not new, but it hasn't been promoted. I need to get some traction. So if you have a minute to do that, I'd appreciate it. Also, last week I mentioned that ICE has asked us to do, and that's one of the things I'm going to talk about in the headlines today. ICE has asked us to do a webinar. And as a part of our introduction, I ask you guys if you would mind writing a little, you know, if you have a positive testimonial, a couple paragraphs, I mean a couple sentences, a paragraph, would you send that to support at CFRN.net? Just something they have to put on the page, you know, like, I enjoy listening to CFRN because, you know, if you got a reason, fine. If you don't, well, then just turn the thing off, all right? I'm kidding. If you can do that, I appreciate it. So we sent out the tweet to get long at 25. Now, the way I worded it, consider being long above 1625 or short below 1616, sounds like a guy that doesn't know what's going to happen next. Guess what? I didn't, okay? In the book, You know the book I'm talking about, Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. He's very explicit in saying one of the biggest mistakes traders make is thinking they need to know what's going to happen next in order to make money in the market. Well, the fact is you don't have to know what's going to happen next. You simply need to know what's happening right now. Okay? So that's why I lay most of my tweets out like that, because no matter what happens, we're going to have a trade. Well, it went north. We got triggered in at 25. And when it hit 1630, in fact, it spiked to 3075, I sent out a tweet and said, hey, guys, 5 points to start the week. I would suggest that you consider taking some or all profits here. I'll sleep better. And I know that some of you did. Some of you stayed in, and that's fine. But we pulled back, and then we pushed on through that 30 again. We took out the swing high at 3075, and then look what we did. We pulled right back to test 1630. I encourage you to get out at 30. I thought that was an important area. Price kept going, but we pulled back to test 1630. So I sent out a mea culpa tweet that says, sorry guys, I got you out a little early, but I'd rather get you out with five on the table and miss four than to have everything evaporate. The good news is, I said, if you still want to go with this, back over 35, there's a trade, I believe, up to 40. But be careful. Use a hard stop. And sure enough, we got back over 35, and we made the run to 40. So there was actually two opportunities in there. One crystal clear with my full recommendation. The second one, you know, I admit it. I said, I'm not going to be in this one. So it's up to you. But here's the instructions. So do with it as you can. So it worked out really well. We're pulling back right now. As we get into the show, I'll draw some fibs and we'll take a closer look at this trade. We'll talk about where we are in the Dow, some of the other markets. Now, our weekly trading zones, I don't typically put those on the screen on Monday. Those are for the partners. By Tuesday, I'm starting to leak them out, and we might see one of them before the show's over today. If you would like to get a copy of this week's weekly trading zones, you need to take a free trial. Also, if you want to win the trading computer that we're giving away, and because some folks have not been able to take their free trial yet, and they still want to have an opportunity to win, we have delayed our drawing. And Michael, have we decided exactly which day we're going to draw the name for that thing?
We actually haven't. We said it was going to be around now, but we haven't picked out a particular day.
I'm just going to tell you guys, we're going to probably push it to closer to the end of the month, so everybody has time to get in there, get signed up, and then going forward, we're probably going to give away at least one a month. At least one a month. If you'd like to know more about it, just Google E-Mini Trading Computer. E-Mini Trading Computer, that'll take you right to our webpage. You can read about it, and if you don't want to wait to see if you can win one, of course, you can just go ahead and order one. We'll be happy to custom build it for you. Get that baby in the mail, all right? Okay, the headlines. Which one am I going to share today? Let's talk about ICE, since we're going to be doing a webinar with them. The Intercontinental Exchange, also known as ICE, is set to win unconditional EU approval for its $8.2 billion bid for the New York Stock Exchange, Euronext, after antitrust regulators found no competition concerns, according to two people familiar with the matter earlier today. Now, this deal will give ICE control of LIFFE, that's LIFFE, Europe's second largest derivatives market, and boost its presence in the interest rate futures business. If you're a Russell trader, and it used to be called the ER2, now it's called the RLM, but it is the Russell 2000. It is 2,000 small cap stocks, and that is traded on the ICE exchange. Michael, which exchange used to trade the Russell?
The Russell, I thought that used to be on the CME.
Was it on the CME? Okay, I'm or the CBOT. Sure. It was on CME? All right. Okay, now last night on the blog, or over the weekend, guys, I did a blog post. Oh, speaking of blogs, I should show you this real quick. I'm not going to go into any more headlines right now. I'm going to let Michael get the recap done, and we can catch up with those headlines a little later in the show. But I do want to show you what I did. I wasn't slacking over the weekend. I was busy, busy, busy. I got caught up all the podcast, all the missing episodes. Now hang on. Let this thing load. Here she comes. There we go. Now, this post, the one at the very top when you go to the blog, E-mini futures trading, choose the market that's right for you. Okay, right here, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the Russell, and the contract specifications. We're almost, I've got an error. We're all familiar with those E-minis, right? But there are other electronic mini contracts you might not be familiar with. Mini gold, silver, crude, natural gas, heating oil, RBOB, corn, wheat, soybeans, euro, Japanese. Now, some of these are not incredibly liquid. You have to kind of watch them closely intraday. Slippage, because it's an electronic market, slippage is not much of an issue if you sit the bid, okay? But these markets are not for everybody. Now, these markets, many of them used to trade on the Mid-American Exchange. Many of you may not have ever even heard of the Mid-American Exchange. But up until 2003, some of these contracts were incredibly active. For small retail traders, this was the go-to futures market. When the CBOT took over those contracts from the Mid-American Exchange in 2003, they sort of fell out of favor. They just weren't popular anymore. There wasn't any participation. I don't know if it was because of a change in the management, a change in the fees, or just a lack of marketing, but these contracts are still available. You can still trade them in your account at Daniels Trading. If you would like to know more, I put it right here in the article. Call Bert at 866-928-3310 and see if any of these contracts might be right for you. Now, in the live trading room, when we trade gold, crude, and natural gas, we're trading the full-size contract. But there is a mini version available, and maybe depending upon your account size, that might be right for you. Also on the blog, you'll find 1, 2, 3, 4 videos. These are full videos of radio shows from last week. So if you missed any of the shows, you can not only listen to the audio, but you can see the video. And last but not least down here, going back to May 31st, all the way up through June 13th, I got every podcast caught up. Now, typically, you go to iTunes, and they're listed individually, but because there were so many, I just lumped them all together in this one podcast. But they're there. I'm officially caught up. My goal is to stay caught up. If I get behind, get on my case, send me emails, support@cfrn.net. Dwayne, it's almost midnight. The podcast is not up. What's up? All right? I'll get out of bed, and I'll go do it. Well, maybe. All right? Okay. Well, guys, that's about it. I've brought you up to date on where we're at as far as the market today in sort of a bigger picture format. Michael is now going to walk us through each and every trade that we took in the live trading room this morning and the ones we didn't take, the ones that got away, the ones that we were just busy doing something else when they went off. So we don't this isn't a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Whenever he brings up ones that we missed, he's just pointing out that here was a setup that met all of the criteria, but, you know, one person can only trade so many markets at a time. Now, as Michael moves from market to market in the mornings, you know, one minute he's trading gold, then he's trading crude, and then he's trading soybeans. And if you're new, if you're taking a free trial, your head's probably spinning, and you're going, man, there's no way I can learn how to trade all those markets. Good news is you don't have to learn how to trade all those markets. All you have to learn is the one trade setup that we use. That's it. If you learn the one trade setup that we teach, you can apply it to any market and any time frame. Let's say that again. One trade setup, any market, any time frame. So when Michael bounces from market to market, don't even pay attention to the market. It doesn't matter if it's the S&P or gold or crude or soybeans, because it's the same trade setup, the same criteria, the same trigger. Everything's the same. So, without any further ado, here's Michael.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Yep, and I'm going to go on mute.
All right. I'm grabbing everything and bringing it over here. All righty. There you have it. Let me just make sure that your view is what I think it is, and it is. Good. All right, let me start my recording, and we'll get right into it. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, the 17th day of June, 2013. These are the results of the live trading room this morning. We had 5 ticks profit in soybeans, 10 ticks profit on the Russell, 1 tick profit on crude. That is where we ended the live trading room this morning. It took us 13 minutes to make the equivalent of 2 ES points this morning. It took us 2 trades. And at that point, we're at $102.50 a contract. We took a total of 15 trades this morning. All right. Let's see, on the month, for the month of June so far, I think today's the 11th day, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, today's the 11th day. For the 11 trading days in June, we are up $2,987.50 per contract in the live trading room alone. That is per contract, and that is a mix of all the markets, not just a single market. If you apply an $8 per turn commission, including fees, to every trade that we've taken in the live trading room, and I know $8 is high, it's higher than what you should be paying, you would still have plus $1,875.50 per contract. So if you wanted to make that be more, you just add a second contract. All right. That is where we stand on the month, 29.87.5. We are very close to 3,000. We should get above 3,000, and then we're really going to have to do some work to get it above that level. Well, not above the 3,000 level, but above the 6,000 level by the end of the month. Got a little bit of work to do in there. You can see right here, we're halfway through the month, and we're just about halfway to where we wanted to be. So it's all good. Let's see. Now let's get into the actual trades that we took. I'm going to start out with crude oil. Okay, we had a couple of trades on crude. Well, we had more than a couple. We had some trades on crude here. I'll show you what they were. Right now, crude is totally flat. Don't know why it's so flat, but it is totally flat. Let's see, our first trade on crude was right in here this morning. We took a short trade in here. Once we closed on the other side of the MA1 and had 4 ticks profit in the trade, we moved our stop to break even. I think we actually took plus 1 tick on that. We did. We took plus 1 tick on that. The next trade was over here. We ended up taking 4 ticks profit on that one. And you can see that one went down nicely after. Now, what we anticipate here when we get a trade set up is that the green line, because there's always going to be divergence, and we anticipate the green line is going to work its way down into the cycle. Once it gets in there, we anticipate it's going to pull back up and give us another opportunity. In this case right here, we didn't follow it up with another trade because we didn't like the way that the cycle portion of the slingshot was headed up. Okay, so we decided not to take that trade. And the next trade that we took was over here. I believe we got another 4 ticks profit on that trade. Then we took a trade right in here that stopped us out. Okay, this one right here. Okay, there we go. This one right here stopped us out. We were minus 8 ticks on that trade. That put us back to plus 1 tick. And that, my friends, is where we ended the morning on crude oil. All right, let's jump over to the Russell. The Russell, we were up pretty good on the Russell at one point today, and then we had a losing trade, and that brought us back down. Hang on. Here we go. All right, this was our very first trade of the morning right here. We had 9 ticks profit on this trade. We thought we had 10 ticks profit locked into it, so we could have our 2 points on the first trade, but unfortunately, It slipped us a little bit, and we ended up getting 9 ticks profit on the trade. We missed the next opportunity right here. There was a long trade right there. We had said that this is topping activity right here if it doesn't put in a higher swing, and it didn't. It turned around and moved down. There was another shorting opportunity right in here that we missed right there. And that was it, pretty much, wasn't it? Yeah, we put in a lower swing. There was another shorting opportunity right here as well that we had missed right there. We had divergence, red cycle. So you could have shorted here for the move down to here and shorted here on this down close for the move down to there. All right, after that, there was no opportunity in here. We were looking for a long opportunity, but it never came. We got really flat in there, and we waited until it trended again. We got short over here, took a break even. Then we were saying this is bottoming action until we get a swing down below this level right here. I had drawn in this box. We did get a big move down. There was no way to trade that. Pulled back up. There was a way to trade right in here for a little bit. That would have been like a 4-tick trade, but I would have gotten a break even on it. Turned around, started to move up, and we got some profit on that trade. We took a loss on this one, and we got some profit on that trade. All right, and that put us at we're plus 10 ticks on the Russell at the end of the day. I should take a moment here, because I'm not sure if I did this yet, and say if you have not taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get access to everything that you see here. You get 5 business days in our live trading room. In the live trading room, you get to see me put trades on. I'll show you my DOM when I put them on. I'll show you my DOM as I take losses. I show you the whole thing. We're as transparent as we can be. Okay, I show you the whole thing. I tell you when trades are happening. I don't get into every single trade, but that's not because I don't want to. It's just because I have too many things going on, and I can't get into every single trade. I don't get filled every time. And I'm not even fast enough to put the orders on every time when I'm trading this many markets. All right, gold was kind of odd today. We ended up break even on gold, but we took a bunch of trades, okay? So the thing about the gold is each one of these trades that we took had 4 ticks profit in it at some point. This one right here had 4 ticks profit. We took a break even. This one over here had 4 ticks profit. We took a break even. This one over here had 4 ticks profit. We took a break even. This one right here had 4 ticks profit. Break even. And after all that, there was an opportunity here and another one right here. Alongside. That was all while Dwayne was speaking a few minutes ago. Okay, right in there. And another one right over here. Right there. All right. That was gold. Let's jump over here. We'll look at copper, though. I didn't trade copper. We were looking for things to happen here with the copper. This, we got the up close in here, and I said I didn't like the way the cycle was looking. It didn't look like it had that much potential. And it didn't. It turned down. Pulled back over here. Now, there's different ways that you could take this trade, but based on what we do in the live trading room, we would have been looking for a down close below this trend line, or a down close, a down close below the trend line, because the cycle down here, this was verified by guys in the live trading room, was blue on the down close up here. So we needed a down close below this trend line. We were still looking for that until the black line crossed up over the BBC. Once that happened, then we're no longer looking for short trades on the copper. Right now, it's setting up a possible long trade. Okay, this is what copper is setting up right now. It's got bullish divergence, a blue cycle, and a pullback. That trend line's not good yet, but it's definitely something in there. The ES, we showed one ES trade this morning. I pointed this out when it happened, the long trade right in here, and I know some guys in the live trading room took this and took some profit on it. This up close right here was a spot to get long. It pulled back quite a bit, but it ended up going all the way up here, where I said to lock in some profit, and I know some guys did. Other than that, the ES was pretty well choppy this morning. Not a lot happening in it. As it turned around and moved down here, this was the end of the morning session right in here, but there's a short trade right here. It was a short trade on the ES, okay? That down close right there with bearish divergence in a red cycle. That is that. Let's see. What else do we have? We have... What is that? What is that thing? I don't know. Who knows? Nobody trades that thing, Frank. All right. over here on the soybeans. Now, this morning when we took our first soybean trade right here, we took one tick profit on it. Okay, I had a feeling that this $15 level here was going to be significant, and we probably weren't going to get through it. I took one tick profit on that. That put me over 2 points for the morning session. Then I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and finally it turned around and got long over here. Once we got long over here, I was saying that I expected it to get up to 1509 up here. All right, it moved up, and it shot right through the 1509 level. Pulled back down, gave us another long opportunity in here. Once I had four ticks profit in that trade, I moved my stop to break even. It came back, took me out at break even, and it continued up. All right, now this move up right here, there was no way to trade that. Okay, unfortunately, there was no way to trade it. The follow-up on that, which was right over here, would have been, well, hang on, I got to slide that over because it never hit the BBC, so it would have been right here. This would have been the follow-up trade right there. It went about a cent and a half or something like that, right? The entry would have been there at 15.1675, and it ran up to 15.19 and a half, so 1 3/4 cents. That was soybeans. All right, soybeans had some pretty good movement today. We were able to get in on some of it, not all of it. Over here on the copper, we still have blue, and up close on the current bar would keep that blue, and that would be a long trade. Wow, that was fast. That was really fast. Does anybody have any questions about any of this stuff? Anyone? Anyone? I know there's a lot of people out there listening. If you have any questions, type them in. I'll be happy to answer them. I know I just ran through that stuff pretty fast, but that's what happened this morning. All right. As I look here on crude oil, it's still really choppy. The Russell's really choppy. Gold's got no trade. The NQ. Let me show you the NQ. The NQ had some pretty good things this morning. Okay. Where did I show things on the NQ? A long trade over here on the NQ. Let's see. There were a lot more than this. This is just what I went over as partners were, or potential partners in some cases. We're suggesting to look at the NQ. There was a long trade in here, a long trade in here. Long trade in here, this one went nowhere. But in here, we got a couple of points. In here, got a point before it pulled back. In here, got about 3 or 4 points, maybe 5. In here, you got 2 or 3, maybe 4. And then it changed directions. And let's see, after the direction change, right here would have been a short trade. Right over here would have been another short trade. And that was pretty much it for the NQ this morning. Okay. Can I show the trend lines on the beans? Why, yes. Yes, I can. Here. This was the first one over here. Okay, this was the first one. This was the second one. This was the third one. Then there was chop in here. And this is the one that I just drew. Okay. Right now, we did not put in a higher swing to continue the trend. We got a higher wick, but we didn't have a higher close. So we didn't really continue the trend over here. Okay, so I'm not thinking right here is a good place to be buying it. But right here was okay. All right. All right, Rick. Those were the trend lines this morning. Now, if you scroll back a little further into last night, there was some pretty good action last night for, you know, nighttime action. Anyway, okay. What do I look for on an entry setup, Matt? Well, in here, let's just do this, okay? Well, you know what? I'll bring up some pictures. It's really pretty straightforward. Step one, you look for the MA1 to cross the BBC. That says look for long trades. Step two, look for price to pull away from the BBC. The BBC is the green line. Step three, look for price to pull back, test it, and give you an up close. Step four, look for bullish divergence. Okay? So that's it. That's it. You get in on the up close. Just the opposite stuff over here on the short side. Okay? That's if you're bouncing off the BBC. All right. That's if you're bouncing off the BBC. Now, if you're not bouncing off the BBC, that means that there was so much momentum, the price pulled you too far away from the BBC, that it didn't pull all the way back up to hit it. That's when you draw the trend line, and you look for a down close below the trend line to continue the trend. Okay? It's a continuation trade. In that case, you don't care if the cycle is the wrong color. You do have to have the divergence. You do have to have the bearish cross. You do have to have the pull away from the BBC. But hitting the BBC and having the right color cycle are not as important. Okay? They're not important, really. What you need is to draw that trend line and get a close on the other side of it. That's it. Every market is the same thing. Every chart is the same time frame. Every bar on every chart that you saw in here so far today, on all those markets, every single bar is four ticks in height. Okay? Every single bar is four ticks in height. Canoe, you should not be trading, the M contract for any of the currencies right now. Dan, the brown line in the slingshot, that's in the partners meetings. I've gone over that in the partners meetings. I don't want to mention it in here. I don't want to confuse anyone in here with any of the details about that. Okay, but it's in the members area in the partners meetings, in the workshops. If you are trading any of the currencies right now, I don't have any currencies up right now, but I mean, we can just throw one up here for argument's sake. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. What I meant to do was this. I was going to remove all the drawing objects here on the natural gas, if it lets me. There were some nice trades this morning on natural gas. There. Here on the upside, here on the upside, here on the downside. For here on the downside, actually there was no divergence left. Here on the downside. Then it changed directions again, and it's actually got a long trade setting up right now. On the natural gas, there were some pretty nice trades this morning. I didn't take any of them. I don't have a natural gas DOM up right now, so I didn't take a single trade over there. But what I will do is just randomly choose a currency. You should be on the U contract now, on the currencies, all right? The U contract is where you should be. And what a mess. All right, as messy as it is, there was still a long trade. Still a long trade right in here that worked out. After that, nothing. On the short side, you weren't going to short going into a weekly trading zone. So there was really nothing here on the 6E. There was that one long trade right here, okay, on the euro. We can look at the 6B really quick. Now, all the currencies should be on the U contract right now. The 6B, the pound, looks like it had some pretty good movement this morning. It had, let's see, by the time you got in here, there was no way you were going long on that. You lost your divergence. You probably weren't going long there either. Change directions, down close right in here. This would have been a possible short trade right here. You could have shorted right there on the pound. Is this the pound? Yeah, this is the pound. And that was it, really. That was a 6B. And let's look at them all while we're in here. The 6A. Pretty much the same spot right here on the dollar, the Australian dollar. All right. That's pretty much it on there. And 6J. All right. The right month for crude right now, Dan, is N. N for crude, Q for gold. All right, the yen was a mess this morning. Look at this thing. It had a short trade right in here this morning. Okay, and it had a long trade right here this morning. And another short trade right here. But it's back and forth and back and forth. What a mess. A long trade right here. This one might have stopped you out. Okay. That was outside the morning session, though. Okay. Those are all the currencies. All right. The copper, if you're trading the copper has a long trade right in here. Soybeans still has nothing. The NQ is pulling back to test the BBC. It's going to need to close above the trend line. The ES is still nothing. The Russell is in a spot where it may give a long trade soon. It's pulling back toward the BBC and giving some bullish divergence. Crude oil. Let's see, this right here was an up close on the crude. That's a long right there on the crude. All right. That is where everything stands on the day. Now, I am going to wrap up the morning session here. Not the morning session. Why am I saying that? Because I almost got into a morning session mode. I'm going to wrap up the recap here. If anybody has any questions, you can email us at support@cfrn.net. That's support@cfrn.net. If you have not taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply and sign up for the free trial. All right. With that, I am going to shut off the recording. There it goes. And I'm going to say, hey, Dwayne, you around? Calling you, brother. And see if he hears me. Because oftentimes he says, I didn't hear you. But, well, because I'm going to switch into morning mode here and start trading. all right. Dwayne? Are you there, Dwayne? All right. Well, the recording is off. And I am going to switch back into morning mode and start trading. Right here, let me just show you what's happening here. On the Russell, we are waiting for this bar to close. All right, this bar needs to close down or close somewhere. It's going to give us a trend line, and we're going to have some bullish divergence. When I say bullish divergence, I mean down here on the slingshot, that the green line is pulling away from the cycle portion of the slingshot. Right now, you can see it is pulling away from the longer-term direction, which means it's diverging from the longer-term direction. Right. Once this closes down, we'll have our spot for the trend line, and then we need an up close above the trend line, or a test of the BBC with an up close, depending on what the cycle looks like as it happens. We are also moving up. I pointed out back here a few minutes ago, right here was a long trade on crude oil, right there. I said we currently have a long trade going on crude. I believe those were my words. I hope we could have moved that over like this. All right, this up close right here above the trend line with the bullish divergence was the long trade on crude. You can see the crude is moving up pretty nicely off that. Let's see. Over here on the copper, this up close right here was the long trade on the copper. What you're anticipating, what we always anticipate when we have divergence like this, is that the green line is going to work its way up into the cycle. All right, that's what you always anticipate when you have divergence like that. This is kind of a weird looking thing over here on the soybeans. We're not doing anything with the beans. Gold just dropped right through the BBC, and the Russell just gave that down close we were looking for on that prior bar. Okay. I don't see in my channel. Okay, there it is. The Russell gave the down close on the prior bar. That's what we were looking for over there as well. Okay, we have some bullish divergence. What we need to have is an up close above this trend line. It could happen on this bar. This bar's got a low of 986. It would have a high of 986.4 if this low stayed in place. That would give us a long trade here on the Russell at 986.4, 986.5, right in that range. Okay. Gold is dropping through the BBC. See, the MA1 just dropped down below the BBC. Price brought it down. This is dynamic resistance that's broken right here. So what would likely happen is price, if it started to move up, you would print some support dots right in here somewhere. You're going to get your bearish divergence here. So you would look for an opportunity to short down off the BBC to the support dots is what would probably happen in there. Okay, if it continues the way it is. On the copper, it's dragging out over here. We want to see this thing move up. We want to see the green line turn up and get up into the cycle. Okay, but it's dragging it out over there. It's down a couple of ticks right now. Let's see. That's about it. Dwayne, are you there now? Okay.
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
Yep, here I am. I didn't know you had. I did not know you had beckoned me. I was.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I had my headset off.
Ah, okay. All right. Okay. I should have.
Ready to roll?
Texted. Yeah, we're ready. We are ready to go.
All right. Something I was gonna. Whatever it is, I was gonna say, I'll remember it later, and I'll bring it up. Okay. Apparently it wasn't. Oh, partners, the workshop from Thursday night, that will be available in the partners area for you within the next hour. As I'm chatting with David and Robin, I'll get it uploaded, but it's ready to go. So for those of you that missed Thursday night, it'll be there for you. Other than that, I guess we're ready to roll. So stand by for a very brief station identification, and we'll be right back with David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach. So don't touch that radio dial.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning to you, and Robin, good morning to you. I'm going to unmute your mic here in two shakes, so bear with me. And Robin, you're live.
And good morning, traders. It's a great day here in Las Vegas. Good morning, David and
good morning,
Dwayne
Robin.
And Michael.
Good morning, Robin.
David. Good morning, Michael. How are you doing? Well, it's nice to be here. We had a nice weekend, had a wonderful some time off and relaxing and not too – it was pretty hot in Las Vegas, but it wasn't too hot. And I think this whole week we have somewhat better temperatures this week, you know, not quite as hot. And I think, Dwayne, on your end there, it's probably not going to be quite as hot as it was last week. So,
you know, I haven't checked the weather forecast, but if you say so, man, that's great news. I'm happy to hear it.
I hope so. Well, that's what it appears to be here in Las Vegas, because it really, the summer caught up, you know, came into play here pretty quick. They weren't fooling around, you know. But this week for us, you know, Monday, a high of 100, tomorrow 102, 99 Wednesday, 100, Thursday, Friday 100, Saturday 102. You know, the week after this, it gets hot again. But, you know, any week where it's not cooking here in Las Vegas is a good week. So,
oh, yeah. Gosh, anytime you're down 100, 102, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You might need a sweater for that.
Yeah,
kind of
that's
weather.
Downright livable, you know. But I know you guys are hotter than we are out here, so when we're at 100, you're going to be 104, something like that, maybe? Yeah.
It was cooking out there yesterday, boy. Wow. We went out and got out a little bit, went to the mall, and went to the Quickie Wow Chow for the Father's Day feast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was warm. Thank God for air conditioning.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember when many years ago we had a windstorm. The strangest thing I've ever seen in Las Vegas. I've been in Las Vegas for 34 years, and I've only seen this once. We've had high winds before, but we had a windstorm that was so kicked up so much dirt that I remember being at the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Tropicana, and I could not see cars across or to the right of me in the different lanes. There was so much dirt flying through the air. There was garbage cans blowing across the street. And that's the time that the Hilton Hotel, not the one on Las Vegas, not the Flamingo Hilton, but the regular Hilton Hotel, its big, huge sign that they had, really tall, big sign, came crashing to the ground in that windstorm. Yeah, it's just a pile of rubble. I remember driving by there and seeing this incredible pile of rubble that you can't even imagine. I was thinking, what on earth is that? And it turns out that was their sign. The people that built it said, hey, this can handle up to 136 mile an hour winds and so on. And
whatever it was, it just blew the thing straight down. And it was a really big hotel sign. So I guess they're not going to build hotel signs that big anymore. I don't know. Or they're going to have to be better, because that was the windstorm that did that to the Hilton. You can go back on the internet and check back in time. I don't know what year that was, but I remember distinctly being at Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard, and there was so much dirt in the air that you couldn't see opposing traffic. You couldn't see it coming from the right or the left.
Wow.
It was amazing, and I haven't seen anything like that since.
Robin, can you take your mic down just a notch?
Sure. Hold on.
Okay.
When you think, we can hear it.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
How's that? Is that better?
Maybe one more notch.
Still? Oh, because I can be. I'm not hearing you. Okay, hold on.
It's a great mic.
How about that?
Well, it sounds like you just backed away from the microphone. Do you actually have a switch to like increase?
Yeah, I have.
Volume?
I switched and both. I did both.
Is it a headset? Is it a headset or a microphone?
Yeah.
It's
headset with a
does
volume.
Your mouth, here's my suggestion.
Instead of adjusting, move
the mouthpiece where the volume, where the actual microphone is. Move that away from your mouth just a little bit. Because I bet you it's very close to your mouth.
No, it's not. It's by my eyeballs.
It's by your
eyeballs. To my mouth.
Wow.
That's why I could hear you think. Okay.
Yeah, there
that's
you are.
Right. Is that okay now?
Yeah, that's a little
great.
Better.
That's great.
Yes, I don't know why that keeps going off. I don't really adjust it that much, that many times, except.
What kind of headset do you use?
This is a.
Plantronics.
Plantronics, okay.
Plantronics.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
So, David, what'd you do for Father's Day?
Well, I had a nice time, Duane. It just so happens that Father's Day, for me, Sunday, landed on my daughter's birthday.
Oh.
So that's the first time in 34 years, or 30 years, since she's now 31, that her birthday landed on Father's Day. I wonder if I could calculate out when that might happen again.
No, that should be every 7 years if that happens.
Is that the case?
Yeah, because I'm on Mother's Day, and it's every 7 years because it moves one day a year. So it should be every
And that includes
you
the
maybe
leap
just
year
never,
and all that?
You never noticed it.
No, I think I don't think we all noticed it. I'll
can't
check
be,
that out,
can't
though.
Be.
I'd like to check it out. That's good information. I'll check that out.
Can't be.
To our best of our memories, we didn't remember her birthday landing on Father's Day in the past, and so we had a really nice time. My daughter is eclectic. She's unusual in her own ways, and it's difficult to buy her things. What do you buy this girl? And she doesn't want you to buy anything too big and expensive, because then she has a sense of obligation that she doesn't like. She doesn't like the feeling of being obliged to return a gift later to you of the same size, or that she feels guilty that somebody spent that much, whatever it is. And so, you know, that she certainly is not the common daddy's little girl where, you know, she's just, you know, driving a BMW or, you know, something like that. No, she's very independent. She doesn't want her parents to help her and buy her stuff. She would much rather take something used that she knew that you liked. Like, as an example, my Chevy Volt, okay? If I were to get another car at some point, my daughter would have no problem taking a used car as a gift, but to buy her a new car, she would refuse. So that's, you see, there's some obligation thing. There's something there with her that she, you know, she feels sensitive about that. And it's not that she outright refuses. You can just see that she's uncomfortable with it. She doesn't, you know, you can't shower her with a lot of stuff. You have to give it a little bit. So for her birthday, I went out and I bought her, this is the strangest thing, a whole bunch of a drink. It's an organic drink called Mama Chia. And it's a drink that you can buy in a Vons. It has chia seeds in the drink itself, and they come in a number of different flavors. And I bought her like 30 of those. They're, you know, they're probably $3.95 each or something. And she really loves them. She just started drinking them, so I bought her a whole bunch of those and got her a nice card. And we had a nice Father's Day and daughter's birthday day. So thank you. We had a nice time. So
well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Glad to hear that.
So what did the kids do for you, Duane?
Well, Saturday afternoon, they took me to the AT&T store to get my new iPhone. I posted a picture yesterday of my old one with the cracked up front. It's pretty funny looking. It was actually I like the style of it. I believe it's the 3GS, the last one that had the curved, the rounded edges. But man, that thing looks rough, all cracked up. Anyway, they took me to the AT&T store to get a new phone. I was due for the upgrade anyway. And I promptly got in a fight with the sales clerk and ended up walking out of the store without my phone. Now, I'm about as easy to get along with as they come. Most days. I mean, we all have our days. And according to my wife, I was having a day, but I don't really think I was. This woman wanted to argue with me, young lady wanted to argue with me about everything I said. She said, well, where did it start? Oh, I said, hey, I have 5,000 rollover minutes. I was told a while back that I could scale down my plan at some point if I was not using all of my minutes. I could scale my plan down, use up some of my rollover minutes, and then if need be, I could go back to a larger plan. And she said, well, that's not exactly true, because if you scale your plan down, you're going to lose some of your rollover minutes. So admittedly, that ticked me off a little bit, but I was okay with it. I said, so in other words, what they told me is not true. She goes, well, come over here and let me try to show you. And then she went into the way that I could use my rollover minutes was by getting their new AT&T home phone. I said, well, I currently have, for my phone service, I have Cox Digital Cable, and it's bundled in with my cable and with my internet, and so I get a package because it's less. And she wanted to argue with me that it wasn't a package, that I didn't get a bundled rate, and that if I took her phone, it was going to save me $35 a month. And I said, well, how's that even – I said, despite all the other points, the fact that I only pay $20 a month for the digital phone service, how in the world can I save – if I get rid of it, how can that save me $35 a month? Well, and so then she launches into, well, we're the only ones who have unlimited – data plans. And I said, well, actually, Sprint offers unlimited data plans. And she goes, well, yeah, but it's not as good as ours. And I said, and honestly, you guys don't have an unlimited data plan anymore. I have one because I'm grandfathered in. And it just went horribly wrong. And so I finally said, you know, ma'am, look, I'm sorry. I did not come here to argue. I just would like to get my phone and go, please. And she said, sir, I don't want to argue either. So I'd appreciate it if you would. And I said, stop. You don't even want to finish that sentence. Give me your business card with your name on it, and I'm walking out the door. And she gave me her card, and I walked out the door. And I'm probably not going to call her boss and rat her out, but I should. And so yesterday I went to a different AT&T store at the mall, and I had a very pleasant experience, in and out, I don't know, 15 minutes with my brand new phone. No hassles, no nothing, just got my phone. And
it sounds like she just came from sales training school.
Well, here's the thing. I've been in sales most of my life, sales management, so I understand, you know, persuasive salesmanship, and in fact, I respect it in a person, and you know, I know what buttons to push and see just how good maybe they are, but this was beyond salesmanship. This was just kind of confrontational, argumentative. I'm smarter than you. You're just some old dude with a ponytail. Who do you think you are? Kind of an attitude, and I'm not going to stand for that. Not when I'm getting ready to shell out couple hundred bucks, not to mention I already spend a couple hundred bucks a month for this phone service, and Lord knows how many tens of thousands of dollars I've spent with them over the years. No, I'm not going to be disrespected like that. No. Mm-hmm. So that's how my Saturday went.
Sunday, how about your Sunday?
Sunday was great, man. Went to the mall, got the phone, then went to Panda Express, which I lovingly call Quickie Wow Chow. Panda Express, and it was good. It always is. The orange chicken, you can't go wrong. And then we came home, and I went to work. Put up a tweet, grabbed 5 points, went to bed.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. So, that's about it. Now, Friday night, oh, I told you guys that my son, Gabe, had won this outing to the arena, the America West Arena, to see the Phoenix Mercury play. We had the luxury suite and the food and the whole nine yards. It was a great evening. And he, of course, felt very proud that he's able to take mom and dad and his sister out. And really the first time he's ever experienced anything like that. And I'll be doggone, when we're there enjoying the evening, they have a drawing. They have a drawing for 4 courtside tickets and dinner and valet parking, valued at roughly $600. Guess who wins?
Don't tell me again. Again?
Yeah. Now, the first one, he earned it from his reading, but the second one, he just straight up won it.
You got to bring him to Vegas.
I know. Yeah.
These are some good early experiences for him. This is good stuff.
Man, this is awesome. It really is, yeah. It really is.
Oh, he's...
And the fact that I left the arena... The fact that I left the arena and went outside and found a flat tire on my little daddy van...
Yes.
I handled it pretty well, you know, because I was walking on air. And I didn't even feel like changing it. I just called AAA and I said, hey, would you come change my tire? You pay these guys every year, you know. You figure you might as well get your money's worth occasionally.
Sure.
So, would you come change my tire? They said, yeah. And they got there in 15 minutes, which is rare.
Yeah.
And lickety-split, changed the tire, and I was off and running. So
That's
my life. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. So, Robin,
that's
how about
great.
You? We haven't asked you. What'd you
do
this week?
I started with tennis at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday for 3 hours. Then I went to a lunch brunch with a friend. And then I went over to my girlfriend's house to share Father's Day with 3 fathers.
Wow.
And they had a little barbecue, which was very nice. And then I came back home and worked.
Well, good.
I think I jumped in
the
pool somewhere in between there.
Now, was there anybody in the audience who did anything extraordinary out of the unusual? That, I mean, we've told our stories. You're welcome to tell yours. Anybody?
Also, I did finish the information on from Coach's Corner. And so I want to mention on Friday on Coach's Corner, we covered a topic called having your distinctions help your profitability in your trading. It was a really good topic, and we had some good feedback, and I got some good feedback afterwards. And we have a contest going for CFRN listeners only, for CFRN listeners only, because we're going to post the link, and I sent you over that link, Dwayne.
I got that, Robin. Now, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me?
I want you to just post it. I don't know who sees that. So if the room sees it, that's fine. That's the link. I don't know if the whole room.
So I can put it out there for the whole room. You bet.
Yes, that's all I need, because that link, you can't get into that page without that link to participate in the contest. So it's only for CFRN listeners. Only. So what you do is there's 2 images. And the goal is to find as many distinctions as you can, and it lists there what a distinction is and what's the difference between those 2 objects, and there's some examples there. And if you have the largest list on June 30th, midnight is when we close it, then you will receive a Sharpen Your Trading Performance CD that was originally $4.99 and got reduced because I'm redoing it, and so I'm just going through the last of my quantities. And you will get that for free, plus the instructions, and it will literally help your trading, or at least it'll help you to come up with a methodology. It'll give you a methodology of how to analyze any trading method, any trading style, any kind of trading to improve your numbers and actually see that you're improving. So, again, I'm redoing the CD, and there are a couple quantities left of the CD. And if you decide you want the CD and, let's say, then you win the contest, you will be credited the amount. So if you do feel like you want the CD because there is a limited amount left for $100, then you can get that. And if you do win the contest on the 30th at midnight, then you will get credited for that money if you had bought one already. So that's the deal, to really work on how to find distinctions within your trading to make it better and fine-tune it. And again, it works for any trading style, any methodology, any market, any level of trader. You will actually be able to, I don't know why nobody's ever done this in the past. I think I'm the only one that's ever created anything like this. But it's a way to analyze your trading so that you can actually see that you're getting better and hone in on the areas that you need to fix.
Very good. And so, guys, you can win this free. Follow the link that I put in the chat box. Click that. Go look at those. Now, don't spot three or four things and think you got a shot at winning.
Yeah.
Because we covered, if you listen to the podcast from Friday, which I'll get uploaded today, hopefully. I'm caught up on everything except two coaches' corners. I'll get that uploaded. We covered 10, I think at least 10 during the broadcast. And so, and I think you said on the last contest there was how many?
Yeah, I had three images on the last on the contest that I have on the actual CD, and there were 79 answers.
Okay.
So know that 10 is probably not going to do it. But you can keep, you're allowed to submit it more than once, and I'm going to post the people that are leading on that page every few days between now and the end of the month. So I'll keep posting it. Like every 2 days I'll look in there and see how many people are in there, and I'll put the first name and the last initial of the person who's leading the pack so that you'll know. So you'll get to compete here.
A very generous prize that Robin has made available, but keep in mind, guys, you got to work for this one.
Okay? Yep, got to work for this one.
A lot of stuff. Okay, anybody else got anything they want to add? Let me see here in the chat box what's going on. Oh, back to the Father's Day birthday conundrum. David may be right. Father's Day is on the third Sunday of June, so you have more involved than just the date moving by one day every year. You also have to factor in the leap year thing. But that should apply to Mother's Day as well, I think, because Mother's Day is not a fixed date. It's a doesn't it float? It's the third Sunday or
yeah, it's
something.
A certain kind of yeah. For some reason, I always remember every 7 years. I don't know why, but maybe I'm wrong. That's possible too. But I could swear it's every 7 years because I would kind of watch it.
Rick says, I got the most wondrous Father's Day gift one could ever get. Our 3-year-old twins. You got twins. Our 3-year-old twins came to me and said, "Happy Daddy's Day." For the very first time.
Oh,
that's cool. And my little girl brought a card that she had made by hand. My wife's real good about teaching kids to make things. And it said, "I heart you." And when she handed it to me, she said, "I'm sorry, Daddy, I didn't know how to spell love." And so it had a little heart. I heart you. I'm thinking she actually knew how to spell love. She's pretty dramatic, and she likes to sing and act. And she might have been pulling my leg there, but it was such a tender moment. I didn't want to spoil it, so I just took her in my arms and gave her a big dad hug. So, yeah, great day. Great day all around. Let's see if anybody else posted anything that they did. Breaking news, the State Department over the weekend issued a policy statement that from now on, whether plausible, they will utilize the least untruthful statement. Oh, Frank, I fell for it. You posted something, and I fell for it, and I started to read it out loud. According to Dan, Mother's Day is the opening day of fishing season. That's how he remembers. Okay. And let's see, other than that, just a few comments. I think we're good to go. If you're ready to head off to the markets.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Let's take a quick look around.
Let me peek here at these headlines. I know I had a bunch and I never got into them, and we won't dig too deep, but let me just see if there's anything. Oh, let's see. Go to my little special link. The new iOS 7. Oh, David, do you have the iPhone 5?
I do.
You do? Are there any tips and tricks I need to know about that?
There's a whole app. Yes, there's a lot of tips and tricks, and there's a whole app for tips and tricks that you can get on your iPhone, which I suggest that you do.
Okay. Well, the new operating system, iOS 7, mm-hmm. has some features, which, by the way, guys, iOS 7 won't be available until the fall, but if you want it now, bugs and all, for $100, you can pay Apple $100 and become a developer, in case you want to write your own apps, but with developer status, you get iOS 7 today. I'm not going to do it because I don't plan to write any apps and I don't really need it, but one of the features that they highlighted today is that if you're in the dark, you can hit the button and say, turn on the flashlight, and Siri will turn on the flashlight. And that was like a little teaser of all the different things you'll be able to tell Siri to do for you in iOS 7.
Yeah, all of this is just from a later perspective, looking back from a great deal in the future, all of this is just the beginning of people having robotic personal assistants do all kinds of things for them, whether it's drive your car or manage your finances or whatever. Siri is really the beginning, in a way, of humanity being helped by machines in a much more advanced way. You'll take a look at farm machinery, and that's machinery helping man, but this is going to be stuff that goes way, way beyond that and understands and follows instructions, and you'll be able to give a robot series of instructions. First, I need you to do this. When you get that completed, then I need you to do this, and the robot will just go out and do that, or the piece of software will do that. And it will be interesting also later, because programming, even right now, is the very basis of programming is that there's ones and zeros, and there's going to be new ways to program. There's science is working on new ways to even put the information into a computer, rather than simply ones and zeros, which is not the very best way, although it works, it can work very, very well. The whole nature of programming itself is going to change. Anyway, so if you want to, we can get over to the S&P and the markets right now.
Let's do it.
Take a look. as a matter of fact, we are just, as we are speaking, exiting a position right here, 1638.50, from just a little while ago. And fortunately, the market has advanced up off of the 1636 level, which was buying territory for us, and we're now seeing that complete. The S&P is today went up to 1639/40, which for us was an important price that was associated with this period of time. This is June 17th, and the market this morning very early on the open, we sent out a message that said the market's going to test 39 to 40 today. You can get long, or let's get long to take that trade up to 40, and they did complete that. And they're reacting off of it, and I think it's very important how the market ends up handling now this critical level up here, what the market is going to do with 1639 and 40. So we'll watch as they, and they may retest it here, may not, but let's take a look and see what how they follow this through for the remainder of the day, because this is a this is an important level on the upside. Other than that, there's a bigger picture thing involved. That the market had a big weekly top several weeks ago, the week of May 20th. They needed to close on the old contract below 1666, and that would indicate a multi-week decline. We've had that decline. They never quite could touch what we felt was a very important level that they normally would. They missed it by a couple of points, but that's meaningful enough for us to say that there still is a lot of buying pressure in this market. So I just want to say that I would not write off the longer-term bull trend that's underway right now. I would not say that that is over yet and so on. So keep that in mind. That's at least our approach or our opinion. And one other thing I think I wanted to mention is that we do have something coming up, which is a pretty important, we think, thing into next week. Now, next week is the week of June 24th. I've mentioned on the radio before that the week of June 24th is important. And there's a little bit of a level slightly above, it's actually about 10 points above, which is 1651 on the upside. Not that we're forecasting a test of that, but that this is, the market's in a critical position coming into next week, and there's a critical price that we believe there that is tradable to that price, which is distant from where we are now. And we think that that's going to be something that sets up that's pretty good. We've given it out in our institutional stuff, so I can't go through over all the numbers. But I do want to let you know that the week of June 24th, which is next week, this is 1 week early, is very important. And this setup would be very tradable. We'll talk about it more. If you want to, you're more than welcome to come to these meetings and get the newsletter and get the numbers and put it all together for yourself. But for the benefit of the people on the radio program today, I think it's important to watch this 40 level that we're talking about now. And if during the week we were to get up to 50, that would also be a very important level. It sounds like we're just taking 10-point increments, but it just so happens to work out that it's both 40 and 50, 50 to 51, that is important to us, and how they handle that will judge how we will act at those levels. Now, sometimes you can put a trade together where you know in advance, hey, I'm just going to short this number. That's one. We did that with the dollar. We bought the dollar down at a level without waiting for anything, just if they touch it, just buy it. But in other cases, it sometimes gives you a higher probability of being correct if you give the market some time to show what they intend on doing at a particular level. If you do that, sometimes you end up with less profit because you waited, and sometimes you end up with a position that where you saved yourself the potential for a loss. And I do want to remind traders, people who are investing in the markets, that avoiding a loss is equivalent to a gain. We don't add it up that way on our charts. We don't say, you know, here's my statement and this is what we made. If what we're not showing is that we also avoided $3,000 losses, just as an example, or $1,000 losses, then really we're up by an additional $3,000 because we actually did something that you can't see, which is avoid by using a wise approach, we avoided a loss. And so keep that in mind, that avoiding losses is equivalent to a gain. It obviously is, maybe not to everybody, but in fact it is, because you saved yourself the unnecessary $1,000 loss. So you, in a sense, made $1,000. It's almost like having a bill that you thought you had to pay for $1,000, and they call up and say, no, that's already paid. Don't worry about it. Now you have an extra $1,000, you know. Go ahead.
It's like Dagwood's wife coming home with a big stack of boxes and packages from the store, and she says, honey, I've got great news. I saved you $300 today.
Right, exactly. That's right.
Okay, on the S&P, looking for just a slightly higher price than what we've put in so far. Not much. Now, we saw that same opportunity David just spoke about last night. On the tweet, we were in at 25, and I encourage everybody to just be out at 30. And then as we continue to climb, I said, you know, if we clear 35, we could see 40, but I'm out. I did not participate or partake in that. But in hindsight, as these things always do after the fact, boy, sure does look pretty. It just went right from that number 30, sailed right on through 35, and then we stopped at 40. And so, David, is that the highest number you've got today?
Let me take a look at what our highest number we've got today is. Yes, actually, 40 is the highest number we have today. Now, if the market really is intending on going somewhere significantly higher and is trading above certain levels, we will update our panel because it's important. There may be another level that's important up there and so on. But, yes, for us, 40 is the highest level that we have for the day.
Okay, we've got one more zone just above where we're at. And then, guys, we only have one more weekly zone overhead. And so that's kind of important, being that today is only Monday. So if we don't hit that number today, and I really don't think we will hit that final weekly zone, but we could hit it possibly tomorrow or Wednesday. And so if that happens, then that paints a picture of what we could see the remainder of the week, and that is considerably lower prices. So we'll watch that very closely, and of course keep you updated.
Yeah. There you are. So that's the S&P for right now. We are flat right now in it. We're going to wait until a little later for another opportunity in today's market, and we'll move on, if you'd like, over to the gold market. There's a number of interesting things that have happened today. A couple of things are in gold, a couple of them some of the other markets. First of all, for us, several days back, we had, for our institutional group and others, we had a bottom in gold that was due on June 11th, but we wanted to see the market get down to 1374. This is basis the August contract, or 1369, between 74 and 69. In order to get long, we did get long, and we still are long in gold right now. It's been very quiet. We've been in it now for 4 days, and we're still waiting to see if they can move higher. We know there's a good likelihood that we're buying a potentially very weak bounce, but sometimes when the market looks very weak, it also turns right around and gives you a very good bounce, a very shocking and surprising bounce. And so we're happy to be in this. We are protecting our stop. We've already taken some profits up at or near 95. Or 95 and 96, and they got up to 94.40. They made two tests at it, so we had an opportunity to take something off there. So really, we're just waiting right now to see if the market can do a little more, and we're managing the risk side. No matter how sure you are of a position, you have to realize that the game of trading, or the art of investing, which is a much better way of putting it, is in good measure the art of managing risk. That's really what the business is, managing risk. An insurance company, as an example, takes in money in the form of premium, and you'd think they're in the business of taking in premium. They are, but their real business is managing risk, because you can take in all the premium you want. If the risk isn't managed, you have to give it all back and more. So the side of the insurance business where you pay your premium for your car insurance, your health insurance, and whatever, that money that you've paid in is really not where the rubber hits the road in the insurance business. The insurance business is in the business of managing risk, and they do that in a number of different ways, not the least of which is tell you they're going to give you $1,000 for your bumper damage when it's really is about $2,000 worth of damage. But, you know, they manage their risk as best as they can. That starts with them understanding risk. So in some ways, what an insurance company is doing is very similar to what traders do. And insurance companies have been around for a long time. Sometimes they go out of business, but many of them insure themselves against risk that they can't wouldn't be able to manage if something really big and bad were to happen, and that would wipe them out. They have insurance for that. They've insured their own risk. So in a sense, if you think like they do, or if you take a look at how they think, it might help you think clearer maybe about the fact that the business we're all in is, in a great part, is the business of the measurement and management of risk. That means we're in the market, we want to make sure that we don't lose while still having an opportunity to gain. And once we've gained, we want to make sure that we can hold on to some of those gains without letting them go away, and we have to know where and when those points are to take, you know, to put that into play and so on. So when people say trading is gambling, I want you to know that insurance companies used to be illegal. It used to be against the law to have insurance. I don't know if you know that. It's part of our history.
Yep.
Used to be against the law to offer insurance to people because it was considered gambling. So then later, this is a part of American history. And then later, it became against the law to not have insurance. And that's where we are now. So there's some very smart people behind insurance. They use actuary tables and other things to assess their risk and determine how much they have to take in and so on. Everyone on Earth who has life insurance is, in a sense, doing the same thing. A person who's not defrauding the company, a person is going to live their life as best as they can. They don't want to die, but they may have life insurance, and the insurance company knows what the odds are, generally speaking, across a wide range of people, that a certain number of those people will die and they will have to pay out. So, and they know that the average payout is so much, and they know what the premiums are going to take in are, and so on and so on. So they've figured it all out as best as they can, and even though they've figured it all out, they still know there's risk there. So that's like us with the market. We know what we're doing, we know what we're looking for, but there still is risk. So we know we have to manage that risk. So don't put aside the risk side of trading because the gain is a lot of fun. The gain is there because the risk was managed well. The gain is secondary to good risk management. It's not first. The gain actually is secondary to good risk management. So keep that in mind and give that its due respect and learn to manage risk properly. There's many, many things we could talk about it, but just commenting on it. And what we're going to do is, if the gold market firms up a little bit more, we will probably move our stop up a little bit higher and continue to manage the opening, the amount that we have at risk right now. Okay.
There's a question from John please. H. John, were you referring to the S&P or to gold? The question was, I thought today was a reflected wave top. John, were you asking that about the S&P or gold?
I think he might be talking about the S&P, actually. The S&P does have, under normal conditions, a top due on June 17th. That is correct. So there's a top due, and this is in our Turning Point calendar, which is inside the Messenger Pro product, which, has been our mainstay product for the last 13 years. So today is a top in the S&P, and that's one of the reasons why we're saying that these levels are critical, that the market is at, because there are certain price levels that are important to us.
Yeah, he said it was the S&P he was asking about.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll move past gold here, and let's take a quick look at a few of the other markets that are interesting to everybody. One of them, which you may not be that interested in, but it has a big effect on your life, which is the U.S. Treasury bond market. We had a nice trade in that a few days back. There was a reflected wave bottom June 11th, and the market had a nice pop-up. We had a target up at 140.29. They got to 140.28, and they sold off. By missing it, even by a tick, it does imply that there's a little more selling pressure, and we are in a downtrend in this market. So take advantage of these low interest rates. They're not going to be here forever.
We have a Fed meeting this week, and their comments could have, quite a bit of impact on this market.
Yes, On the interest rate, yes. So if you're going to, you know, the interest rate really affects your home payments and stuff like that. One other thing I was going to talk to you about on your home payment, just mention this again. You're just a, we're all just people that have mortgages, and you pay, let's say your mortgage, an average mortgage is about somewhere between $1,300 and $1,500 a month. And if you were to split your mortgage into two pieces and pay half of it in the first 2 weeks of the month, like pay the half on the first of the month and pay the second half of your mortgage on the 15th, you would save tens of thousands of dollars on your mortgage over time. And the reason is because you are not paying for that extra time. When you first pay that first half of your mortgage right up front, you're not paying for that extra time. You're paying, you're splitting it into two, and so instead of paying one big payment at the end of the month, you're paying half of your mortgage in the first 15 days of the month, or however your mortgage falls. And that means that you end up saving tens of thousands of dollars in interest over a 30-year loan. Well, maybe you're not going to keep it for 30 years, but it sure saves a lot of money. And here's the interesting thing. You're saving money without ever spending anything extra to do so. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to sign up with anything. It's just the same amount of money that you'd be paying, but you simply are paying it in the month, splitting it into two pieces.
You know, interestingly enough, I logged in a few days ago to pay the mortgage on a rental property, and when you go to the payment page, they actually break it out and ask you if you would like to make those type of payments that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a time when the mortgage company themselves would never suggest such a thing because it's going to cost them money, you know, mm-hmm. real money mm-hmm. by encouraging you to shave time off of your mortgage. But it was right there on the payment page. It said, would you like to pay every 2 weeks? And they had a couple different scenarios, and it says if you would like to, and what they'll do is they'll automatically, you know, debit that payment out of your checking account or however you want to pay it. And all you had to do is tick the boxes. And so what an incredibly effortless way
right.
to save a ton of real
ton of
money.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And so there's no reason not to do that. You can arrange your income, your finances in such a way that you can do that. I suggest to everybody that they take advantage of that. And it's the same exact amount of money you're paying anyway. It's just broken up into two payments, and it makes a huge difference on how much interest you pay, because you're essentially getting half of a month free now. In other words, you're saving yourself the interest you would pay on a half of a month every month. So you're almost, in a sense, cutting in half the amount of time you're paying for in your whole mortgage over 30 years. It's a huge thing. Doesn't cost you a dime more. Why not do it? You save enough money doing that to, you know, to go have a big party, you know, every couple months or whatever it is. So check with your financial advisor and all that stuff, but I don't think you really have to. I think it's just you don't have to check with anybody. Just go start splitting it up into two, and you'll be real happy about it.
Now, Chris asked a question. Can you pay the year in advance and achieve the same thing? Actually, Chris, I think if you applied – well, let me think for a minute. Well, you would have to instruct them to apply – well – I think what you should do in your case, Chris, if you're in a position to do that, figure out how much over – wait a minute. Because you've got to apply the principal and interest. But David, I would have to think about this for a minute, but off the top of your head, what do you say?
Well, you're allowed to pay anything you want up front. Now,
right.
Regarding mortgages, it's interesting the way that they work. You cannot – if I take say your mortgage that you owe is just for round numbers. Say it's $100,000 that you owe. If you were to take $10,000 and send it in, they don't – therefore, as you know, they get the $10,000 and that will reduce what you owe. But the actual amount that you owe every month does not change. It's not a moving thing that every time you send money, and we know this because at the end of a year you will have sent in $15,000, but your mortgage remains the same. The dollar amount remains the same. There are loans, by the way, that will reduce the dollar amount as you pay them. The loan gets recalculated every time, and it goes down. That doesn't happen in a normal mortgage. So you can pay any amount you want up front, and that will reduce your to that degree, it reduces that much money that you owe them, and so on. What we're trying to do, though, is we're trying to the distinction is we're trying to save time. You want to stop buying that extra half a month of time, and you might want to call your mortgage company and find out if you can do that, but I don't think they're going to credit you with the year. I don't think they're going to take a year off of your mortgage by you doing that, but I do know that if you do it on a monthly basis, because they're expecting it in a month, it's a good question, but I don't know that they're going to do that for the year. So I think you would have to ask them if that same effect would be, and I would have to think about it as well, because there's a couple of things there once you go beyond an individual payment, I think, beyond that into a whole year's worth of payments. But interest is a huge part, obviously, of the total payment after 30 years. It can be $117,000, $120,000 that you are paying in interest. And that's in today's interest rates. Imagine what it is when we get back up to 7 and 8%, what you're going to be paying to own a home. That's why I've been screaming the whole time these last 2 years about take advantage of, if you can, take advantage, you know, with wise use of your funds, take advantage of the low interest rate and get a home, because that home will cost you a lot less over time. You literally, over at an 8% interest rate, which we'll be back at some point, at 8%, 7% mortgages, you'll be paying $220,000, $230,000 over the life of the loan for having borrowed that money. Right now, it's like $110,000, $115,000.
Right.
That's a huge difference.
Here's what I would suggest, Chris. Let's just to use round numbers, let's say your mortgage payment's $1,000 a month, and let's just, as an example, say that $700 of that's going to interest and $300 is going to principal. So we're talking about $12,000. $1,000 for your monthly payment times 12 is $12,000. If $700 of that goes to interest, that's going to be $700 times 12, $8,400. So take $12,000 minus $8,400, it's $3,600. Take $3,600, apply that directly to the principal, and then you've got the other set aside. Well, no, that's not going to, because you're still going to have to pay them the $1,000 every month. I thought I had figured a simple solution. You know, give us a day to think about this, and we'll come up with a better answer for you. And I bet your buddy Rob Howe, what's the real estate guy?
Rob, that's him. Rob Howe would know. That's exactly his name.
The other guy's Greg Howe.
Greg Howe. They both have the last same name.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I bet you Rob Howe could answer that question really quick and really
well. He probably could. Maybe we should have him on this week if we can get him and have him answer that, because this is a beautiful thing. It really is. Where other places in life can you not have to make some kind of a bargain, you know, where you have to pay something in order to get something? Here's a thing where you just are paying the same amount of money, but you're just splitting it up, and you're saving tens of thousands over the life of your mortgage. It's literally cutting it in half, the amount of time that you're buying. It's a beautiful thing. So, you know, keep that in mind, and we'll continue.
Yeah, if you want to invite him and see if he can come on one day this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know, Dwayne, if you just speaking of real estate, have you had a chance to maybe look at your own property or other properties around there and see what kind of gains, recovery, that kind of thing that you've had since the very lows of the deal? I mean, did you must have checked up on your own property and said, hey, look at this thing. They really whacked it, or no?
Well, I know that we lost most of the homes here in Phoenix lost 2/3 of their value.
Okay, so you did have the 2/3. Yeah, and that's what we had out here is 2/3.
And I would say that we've probably bounced 25%. So in other words, if your house was worth $300,000, it got whacked down to $100,000, and now it's probably back to $125,000.
Yeah.
And that's just some round numbers just out of the air.
No, we did too. That's exactly what we had out here. We had a two-thirds of the value go away, which is a pretty amazing number when you think about it.
I was at 152. I went up to 162, and I think I'm at 172 right now. So I've gone up, not to where my house was, what I bought it for, but yeah, it has gone up a little bit.
Right, and one other thing I was going to mention is that Bank of America is under investigation and has been fined for purposely holding off on doing all kinds of things that you were trying to do, Robin, at one point. And is it Bank of America that you're working with?
I was. They stole my paper.
Okay, but Bank of America was giving bonuses to people for delaying homeowners from getting the help that they need. They were paying bonuses and all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you something. It's my personal opinion that nobody should do business with Bank of America. This is a company that has literally gone out of their way to abuse and basically criminally go do bad things to people who all they wanted to do was try to either pay their mortgage or do a legitimate short sale on their house. The things they did were so awful that they deserve whatever hell they get, and I would like that hell to be in the form of nobody doing business with them, because this is a company that did some really, really bad things. You can go on the internet and read about it and check it out for yourself.
Well, I found an interesting fact on Friday, which was that every single time that a bank of – this I can't even tell you what this did for me Friday. Every single time Bank of America requested me to redo my paperwork, Bank of America gets paid through HARP, through the stuff that the government put in, $6,000.
Right, and they were having
every
people listen.
Every single time I redid it, four times. So Bank of America made
$24,000
on me.
They have to pay back billions. They have to pay back billions, number one. Number two, they were paying people bonuses to go into your file that had all the complete paperwork, take the thing that you filled out, take something out so they could list the file as incomplete and keep sending you letters saying the file is incomplete and drag it on and on and on. These are people that I would like to hang out high above a building and put a sign on in front of their house saying this is a guy that tried to – you know how they have that with the sexual predators? They put a sign out in front of the house. That's what we should do to these executives at this bank.
Well, I'm the first one in line, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Now,
you know that.
Just for legal purposes, I'm not suggesting that a run gets taken on the bank or anything like that. I'm simply saying, just as we all have choices where we do business, this is a company that's run by people who have no conscience at all. They have no conscience. That means if it hurts you, they don't care. And if they can get away with it, they will. So you do what you want to do. But I certainly am not going to do anything with that company for the rest of my life, seeing how they treated people, what dirty deeds they did, how much misery they caused, purposefully, not negligently, purposely to people, to individuals who are already in a bad position. So consider that. Check it out on the internet if you need more information. Go check out. And they did all kinds of things with people who were applying for HARP loans and all the other stuff. Just bad news. Just not a good bunch of people. Okay.
No, they're really terrible. And
I saw you
now
go
that they've
it.
now the thing is now they're oh now they passed the paper to my new lender and they passed the wrong interest rate. And so now the lender is in dispute with Bank of America.
Yeah.
So I can't even go forward even with my new lender because they didn't pass the paperwork correctly.
Yeah. Well,
Go
check out, but you make your own decisions, obviously, on who you want to do business with. But I wouldn't do anything with that bank, and I won't for the rest of my whole life for what they did. It just this one time, let alone whatever they do with fees and all that other stuff. This one thing that they did was bad enough. Because people like your mom, my mom, other people's dads, and people like that who owned their home were going through stuff. It was already hard enough, and they virtually made it impossible for them to get the thing that they were trying to do done. They delayed it, and you went through quite a bit of that yourself, Robin.
Four years.
I mean, think about that. 4 years.
4 years I've been doing that with 1 foot of paper.
Right.
1 foot of paper. I mean, unbelievable, and through a hardship on top of that. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely
well,
horrible.
So yeah, it is. It's too bad that you know that those people. I don't know why people. You know, how do they do that and not end up in jail?
I don't know how they live.
I don't know.
And then they just had a huge thing on CNBC last night about the property in Las Vegas, the Gateway, the one that's Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood, yeah.
That huge building that they built from Star something, but
yeah.
the multi-million dollar guy.
Yeah, it's like a
timeshare.
Timeshare, right?
Well, they kept messing around with him until he couldn't pay, and the same thing. I mean, he was trying not to give up that building, and I guess they finally got it sold last year. Somebody else took it over. But, you know, they did the same thing with him. And it was an incredible story.
Yeah. Well,
not that he was doing all the best things either, but still, the banks were really taking advantage.
Yeah. So there you go. That's unfortunate. You know, just try to avoid doing business with them because it doesn't end well with that company. All right, so let's move on. Let's see. We were at gold. We were at the U.S. Treasury bond. We do also want to talk a little bit about the euro, which is on its way up. We do have a setup in the euro that is important that leads us into the week of, well, here we are again, June 24th. All the details for this, if it works out right, would get you in on the long side. That's if things lay out the way that we're talking about. This would help people get in on the long side for a move to a known target that's very distant from where we are now. Now, we would step by step through this as the trade, you know, comes to fruition. And these things are theoretical as they start out, and then they slowly turn into actual. And so we're going to take that step by step. This is something that we'll talk about this week and next week in our meetings and in the emails that people get about the euro, because there's really an opportunity coming up here for a very nice, this would be longer term. This would be probably something on the order of several weeks, perhaps even, in a trade, but it could be a multi-hundred point trade in the euro. So we're going to continue to watch on that. And I want to really save, because we haven't really got everything all lined up yet, but we have given out the information as we know it now for the setup. So as it sits right now, we'll leave the euro, but there's two big dates coming up in the euro, but the first one of importance is the week of June 24th. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue on. And I encourage people to come to the meetings and check out and get the emails, which come every day, and it'll help you if you want to trade these longer term setups. Going over to crude oil, we've talked about crude for the last quite a while here since the April bottom. That crude is going to be heading higher. We believe it's going to be in the well over the $100 mark. And now look where we are. We made a high today of 98.74. We are going to go higher, I believe, and we're going to see numbers up at 103, 106, and that's going to put a little heat on gasoline. That means gasoline prices go up, and electric cars look better at that time. I just wanted to mention that something I read, an interesting statistic or an interesting fact about the Chevy Volt. Happens to be a car that I drive, and I just adore this car. If you're considering a anxiety-free electric car, the Chevy Volt is a great thing. I can get 50 miles now out of this car on pure electric every day before the gas generator turns on. So I can drive an awful lot of miles without having to pay any gasoline. I've driven 22,500 miles now, and I've only used 15 gallons in gas. And that puts me up in the 98th percentile of people that have Chevy Volts. There's an app that shows you where you are based on your stats, which they read off of your car. But another interesting stat, which I think is really interesting, is that the Chevy Volt, is however complex it is, actually utilizes over 10 million lines of computer code. Now, that's not 10 million parts that have to move. That's code. But it actually uses 10 million lines of computer code to do what it does, this very sophisticated drivetrain that it has and other things. You would think, hey, there's just a battery, there's a motor, and, you know, it turns on, and when it finally runs out, the engine turns on. But, no, it's got a lot more complexity than that. But having been the most complex of – no car has ever had 10 million lines of code. Having been the most complex, it's also ranked as the most reliable car in the J.D. Powers and Associates thing, the most reliable car, highest rated. Now, having said that, picture a jet fighter in your mind, you know, from like a, you know, the jet from the Army, a jet fighter. A jet fighter has 6 million lines of code to do all the things that they do, move missiles, open the thing up, bomb, laser, radar, all that stuff uses 6 million lines of code. A Chevy Volt uses nearly double that to do what it does. It's pretty amazing. So a real dramatic piece of engineering, and with gasoline prices going up, I think we'll see some increase in the electric car sales as well, which continue to grow.
How come you're getting such better mileage than most?
When I first got the car, I was driving it without using what's called the regenerative brake function. And what that means is that if you know how in the typical car with an automatic transmission, if you pull that transmission through drive all the way back, it'll say L, and L means mm-hmm. low. Okay, mm-hmm. they have that in this car, but it doesn't mm-hmm. really mean low. It puts you into the most, it puts you into the best regenerative braking. What that means is while you're driving along, if you take your foot a little bit off the gas, mm-hmm. the car starts to slow down a lot faster than it would normally. Normally it would coast. Well, that load, that feeling of slowing down is being caused by a generator using your momentum, the movement of the car. The generator hooks up, and it's actually creating power that it puts back into your battery.
Cool.
So I'm driving around. So I used to get about 40 miles a day, something 42 miles. Now I can easily do 50 miles in a day because I'm using the regen function. So I get an extra 8 miles a day on battery before it would switch over to generator. So that's a good question. That's why it's improving. And also you learn how to drive the car to maximize the battery range. That's what everyone's doing. Everyone wants to get as much battery range as they can because it's so smooth, it's so quiet, and it's so effective that it feels, you know, a Rolls Royce can't be any quieter or any smoother because it actually has a motor. This doesn't. This just has an electric motor that has virtually no vibration and no sound and no nothing. So anyway, that we got onto that just by crude oil. A lot of our guys have been selling puts, and they've been doing very well. You can talk to Bert Schlichter about that. Bert actually trades for some of our customers who are in selling puts in some decent size, looking for higher prices in the crude market. So consider that. And there's other things you can do with it. But we think that even with pullbacks and whatnot that are going to come, we think higher prices are coming. Okay. A couple other markets I think are of importance. Let me switch over here. I really wanted to go right over to the dollar, Wayne.
Hey,
take
David.
A quick look at that. Sure.
David.
Go ahead.
David, is it true? Is it on the Chevy Volt? Does it void your warranty if you remove the reelect Obama bumper sticker?
No, actually, it doesn't. It doesn't void the warranty. That's very funny.
That's so funny. Thanks, Frank. Yeah. That was came out of the chat room.
That is really good. And I know people love that because it does look like it's an Obama thing. But just so people know, the Chevy Volt started before Obama was even voted in. It started in the previous administration. That's where the original impetus for the car was. And yeah, he has his green initiative, and he's made a complete mess of it, honestly. Betting on companies, and I don't like the fact that he bet on Tesla either, even though I happen to have a thing for Tesla. I think all of it was wrong, the whole shooting match. The government should not be placing bets on individual companies. I mean, that's the most inane thing to be doing. They should be, you know, if they're going to do anything, research grants, university grants, let those people, let the business come to the innovators that are at universities doing these studies and getting those grants so they can license that those discoveries and commercialize them. But to be betting on individual companies, like I think this one, this Solyndra, I think that's really going to roll. Yeah, and that's stock picking. That's our government using your tax dollars to stock pick under the guise of saying we're helping the green movement. No, they're not. They're doing nothing for the green movement except giving it a black eye. That's what they're doing. The green movement will be the green movement, and it'll move because the real business of companies comes from the private sector, not from government. The government can hardly do anything right without all the waste, fraud, and abuse that you could possibly eat in one lifetime. We know that. And companies, companies in reality have to do the exact opposite of what the government does. They can't have too much waste, fraud, and abuse, otherwise they go away. So companies live and die by a completely different set of rules than our government does. Government should regulate and do what they do, you know, build streets, manage the army, and, you know, all the things, all the legitimate functions. But I'm telling you, and I've said this before, if you could see the list of dollars that this government wastes through fraud, duplicative programs, complete abuse. I mean, again, the IRS thing, it's one in a long line of them. What did we just find out about the IRS? Big $50 million spent in a year on parties that the IRS had for these people where they dressed up like Star Trek, and they stayed in the highest, the presidential suites of hotels and stuff like that. When's the last time you stayed in a presidential suite of a hotel? Never.
It's been a while.
Okay. But they were spending, they were doing that, and these are employees and managers and stuff, just wasting. I mean, honestly, the only, it's up right there with, and I'm sorry to say this, but I just have to, it's right up there with, you know who I'm talking about, the unfortunate religious thing that happens, whatever religion you want to call it, the Benny Hinns and all the others who just take in millions and millions of dollars. They live a completely ridiculously lush lifestyle, flying around in jets, going to beautiful presidential suites at hotels, on and on and on. That's essentially what the IRS is doing with your money. And if you don't pay a dime of your money, they come after you. If you don't pay it, they put you in jail. But they can spend your money on the presidential suites and have $50 million worth of parties. If you could see a list of all of the fraud and abuse in the government, the country would go into civil war if they could see what really is happening, how much of our money is being wasted. Everybody in this country could pay 18% taxes, and the government would be just fine if that fraud and abuse wasn't there, or less. You know, it's just, and then they want more, and they're asking for more. They, you know, now you have to pay your fair share. Well, it isn't your fair share if they're abusing it. If there's tons of fraud and abuse, it's nobody's fair share at that point, and that's what's been happening. So, it's unfortunate.
I'm one of the first to speak out against the. There's a song by who wrote that song? The Sultans of Swing.
Uh-huh.
Who wrote that song? Dire Straits. They have a song about the TV evangelist with the big diamond ring.
Sure.
Oh, what a great song that is! And I'm one of the first to speak out about some of the abuse and fraud that we've seen in those areas. But there is one huge difference, and that is, whereas people choose to willingly give their money to these ministries, sometimes, you know, fully aware that it's used for jets and whatnots, and uh-huh. sometimes they don't know, sometimes they do know. But the point I'm making is that they willingly give their money to these ministries, whereas on the other hand, the IRS just takes your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no willing there. There's no, yeah, I'm going to choose to support this. They just kick your door in and take it, man. And uh-huh. you better pay up. Or that's exactly what they will do, is they will come and take it by force. You know?
That's right. No, that is right. I know. It's bad. I mean, we can always find the things wrong. And my real point is that the government is just out of control with regards to money. And I wish we could get that list and show it to people. It would start a civil war. That's how bad it would be.
There was a question, David. Let's see. Well, Stephen, let's at the end of the show, I'll ask David to answer the question about if he's been able to calculate the electrical costs associated with the vote, because I want to get through the rest of the market.
Yeah,
if we have time, he'll cover that. But Matt asked, what strike are they selling puts in oil?
Well, many of these have been done already. I think that's a better question for Bert Schlichter of Daniel's Trading, 866-928-3310. Bert will be very happy to tell you the numbers that he's been selling. One of our clients works very closely with Bert and has, I don't want to give the dollar amount out.
Are you there, Bert? Are you there by chance? Are you on the phone? I know he's listening in, but okay, he must be on the phone. All right, well, maybe we can get him to come on tomorrow and talk.
Yeah, actually, it would be good for him to mention that, I think. I think that's a good question. What strikes are they selling? And, of course, the market's higher now than when they did sell, and so it's a different game, and there may be a reaction coming and so on. So, but I do like the idea, just in general, of the buy pullbacks in the ongoing uptrend outlook. Let's go to dollar real quick, and I'll run by this. We will zip through these last few markets. Last week, we had forecast that June 14th, the U.S. dollar index, would decline and touch $80.71. It actually touched it one day early, right at $80.71 on June 13th, and that $80.80 would be the place to buy it. Just go straight up and buy it. And the reason we're saying that is because there's a very is a powerful principle that should keep the market under this current set of conditions. You know, there's a million conditions in the market. This particular set of conditions came up, and the market should be nearly impossible for the market to get through 80.71 on the downside. Nearly impossible. And there should be a bounce from 80.71. So we're long, and we continue to be long in the U.S. dollar index.
What month, David? July?
We're in September. In the dollar index.
Remember,
that goes... It doesn't have a July for this, I don't believe. It has... This runs like the S&P, you know, the March, the June, the September.
Well, that's what confused me, because I actually show that there's a July, an August. That must be just a misprint.
No, maybe... I'm not sure if you're... Well, let me double-check on mine here.
DXMN, DXMQ, DXMU...
There's no DX. There's no July on our contract here for the dollar.
I think this is just a misprint. So.
Okay. Well, I think
You're in the month of you.
We're in the month of September. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in the month of September. So we're looking for. We think that the market will advance under normal conditions. I know the dollar's been in a pretty good downtrend. We could have a pretty good bounce here. We've given out all the targets on our institutional stuff, but I'm letting people know that we feel pretty strong, and we've talked about this several times on the program, that this is a level that we think is important. Today, it made a low of 80.77. So that was another buying opportunity, because we think it should be very difficult or nearly impossible for the market to get through 80.71 until they have at least a very tradable bounce off of this level. There's not a whole lot of... other things to say about this. You know, that's basically the trade. We're in it. And we do have targets on the upside. That's for subscribers. But if you do have an interest and do want to listen in, you can give us a call at 888-231-4702. And you can ask for Johnny. He'll put you in. And you can listen to the meetings. You can also, there's three meetings a week. Plus, you'll get the emails that lay it all out, tell you what to do and when to do it, and so on. Also, double check with your broker to make sure you have the margin requirement to do this, so that you're not stuck, you know, in an uncomfortable position at some point. A couple other markets, we're watching cocoa. Those of you with Reflected Wave know about what cocoa is doing here. We'll leave that off for right now. We're also keeping an eye on copper. Copper, we had a Reflected Wave bottom in copper in the month of May. So that means we're looking for a multi-month advance. So all we're really looking for now is a good place to buy, because we think the market's going to go up for several months. So look at your stuff. Maybe you use Dwayne's and Michael's material, and you can use that to get an entry or a place to set up a trade. You could use your own, or you could use Reflected Wave.
Are you in July?
In copper, we are in July right now. And this is probably going to roll soon, because when they say July, they actually get out of it much earlier than July sometimes, and it depends on the market. But some of these commodities don't run the same as the S&P. Another market that we've expressed interest in on the date of June 14th to June 17th, and that's a Friday, Monday, with soybeans, to buy it. we told our institutional people this morning, if they wanted to, they could simply buy the silly thing. And the market is higher now, and we're expecting a multi-day advance in this market as well. We talked last week about the weekly bottom in the natural gas. That's for June 10th, last week. This is reflected wave. This week the market is firming up very nicely, and we think there's going to be a nice advance on this. We have numbers for all this stuff, but this is the generalities here, just talking about these individual setups. And then finally, we do have for Robin, we do have a really nice recovery on soda. I think it is soda here, Robin.
Soda or Zynga?
Well, soda's still doing well.
Yeah, soda's doing okay. It's got a little pullback today on a strong day, but not, you know, it rallied pretty high. So, but it's leveling. It's starting to level. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So nice stuff there.
Zynga is coming back a little bit. Again,
yeah.
It doesn't move in big tremendous moves, but we are now heading up versus not heading up.
Yeah, versus down, yeah. we just can't say it. It's heading up as opposed to not heading up.
Right.
Anyway, it is.
Had that pull back to like around 275, and now from there it's starting to go up again. So we're heading back up again.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on Zynga. This stock really, really took a big dive, you know, back starting in March of 2012.
Yeah.
Short selling stocks is a thing to consider if you know how to call a top.
Sure.
And because the down moves are typically faster and more directional than up moves quite often. And there's whole funds out there that specialize in short selling if you wanted to give them some money and let them do the short selling. But I do want to tell you that it's an extra skill level to short as opposed to go long. It's mm-hmm. in terms of a multi-day or multi-week kind of move, because the markets, because they go down faster, you have to be better. Your timing has to be better, and but the payoff is if your timing is better, the good side is that the market tends to get underway faster, complete moves and targets faster, and so on. So there really is a nice payoff if your skill set allows you to short effectively, repeatedly.
And it's an emotional shift. Also,
it is. It is an emotional.
It's an emotional shift, and a lot of people can't. Can't. A lot of people are challenged by the emotional shift it takes to believe something's going to go down
when
typically get into a stock thinking it's going to go up.
That's right. What were we going to say, Dwayne?
I was just going to point out that on this, Robin, we broke below that 200 period moving average on the daily chart.
Uh huh.
So it broke below it, and then it hit it. And fell off, and now it's hitting it again.
Yep.
So right here, if it could close above this 200 period moving average on the daily, then it's got, you know, room to run back up to the 50.
Yep.
And then if it could get above the 50, because we had, I mean, this was a bullish, a golden cross here, but then price did an unexpected thing here. So let's see what happens over the next few days. This is...
Yep.
Kind of make or break. If it takes out this swing low at 270, there's not much in the way of it dropping back, you know, maybe down as low as 220, 230, uh-huh. $2. So let's just see what it can do over the next couple of days. Volume is what's volume like today?
It's
5.9 million.
Yeah.
So it's 5.9 million on an up day. It's up 7 cents, which, you know, not a lot, but it's a $3 stock, and that's 2%. And so 2% is a lot when you look at it from a percentage basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's had, like, again, a nice move since Friday. So Friday and today, Friday was kind of sideways, and then it took off towards the close, and then it's continued that rally up. So that's good.
And again, unless there's some fundamental information that I'm not aware of, I like this as a longer-term investment type opportunity. So.
Me too.
Yeah. I was going to answer real quick the fellow's question about the electrical costs and so
sure.
on, just for people to know. It is interesting how cheap electricity is in most states out here in Nevada because we have Hoover Dam. It's very inexpensive. We get down to as low as 9 cents a kilowatt hour. You have to start thinking in terms of kilowatts, and it's a little bit of a flip around. But in terms of dollars, I might be spending $25 a month right now charging the car. So that's how much my electric bill has gone up. I haven't even been charging it at the office anymore because I picked up an extra 8 miles a day by using the regen function. So, you know, I mean, I'm getting all my driving done and I get home and I charge it from there, but I don't even charge here anymore. I used to like to top it off, but I don't need to because I can get all my driving done. So the one thing I was going to say is that your electrical rates will vary from community to community, state to state. But in general, it's going to be dramatically less expensive to drive your 50 miles a day. The average person only drives 33 miles per day or something like that, the average person. And I know a lot of you have longer commutes and things like that. But in the end, you can save yourself an awful lot of money not having to pay for gasoline, even putting aside the idea that you're, you know, by buying gasoline, you supposedly were supporting the Saudis and putting all that aside. Just merely practical living where you're just getting around for a lot less expense and a lot more fun because you can beat everybody off the line at the stoplight, and there's everything good about that, especially when somebody from another country is in a Camaro next to you. I mean, it feels particularly good. You have to try it and see it for yourself. Anyway, and that mitigates
when somebody from another country. What did I missed something there?
Yeah. Well, the people that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Or a Camaro or a Mustang, but either way, no, they're very. I've said this so many times. The electrics, all of them are just a blast to drive. They have all the torque is available instantaneously, and in just maybe a week or two, these are tiny cars, but it might work for some of you. The Chevy Spark EV is coming out, and it is going to be 3,000 pounds. It'll have 400 foot-pounds of torque. That's twisting force that sets you back in your seat and feels very, very nice to the people who like that feeling. And it'll zip around. It'll probably do about 90 miles in real world every day. So if your commute, if your daily living is 90 miles or less, you might consider a Chevy Spark. It's going to be around $27,775. You get a $7,500 tax credit from the government. If you live in California, you get another $2,500 off that. That brings you down to like $18,000 for a car that means that you never have to pay any gas at all anymore. More charging stations are coming up. Many of them, the majority of them, are free, and they will be for quite some time, and so on. Me, myself, I came down from a car that had a big expensive gas habit, like many of you that have trucks that you pay $4.50 a month in. The lease on some of these vehicles are coming down to $1.99 a month. You could get a brand new vehicle like a Chevy Volt and be paying less for a brand new car than you paid for just in gas, let alone the repairs of a car that has all these moving parts. Remember, in an electric car, you don't have any pistons, you don't have any intake, you don't have any transmission, you don't have any spark plugs, you don't have any oil, you don't have any fluids, you don't have a hydraulic assisted steering. I mean, they've ripped out the majority of all the parts that you and I pay $800 for every time we go to the dealer. It does have an air conditioner. That'll have to be serviced at some point. But the estimate on these cars is that they'll run 700,000 to 800,000 miles, and they don't know how much beyond that. That's a long time. So and in terms of the reliability of the motor and the transmission not having any problems, not braking and stuff, because there's nothing there. They've removed all of the moving parts and all the gears and the fluids and all that stuff. All of it's gone. And you can feel that when you're driving it. That's the smoothness I'm talking about, is all that clunky stuff is gone. You'll have
How
a great
often
old time.
Do you have to get a tune-up?
You don't have tune-ups in an electric car.
You don't have tune-ups?
There's no tune-up in an electric car, nor if you use the regen function like I do, your brake pads, instead of having to go out every 25,000 mm-hmm. miles and replace them, will last over 100,000 miles. Your brake pads. Why? Because 90% of your slowing down is taking place by you taking your foot off the gas and the regen kicking in rather than you putting your foot on the brake.
Huh. Well, you didn't talk about those savings, too. That's huge.
Yeah, so those savings, the maintenance savings are huge.
And brakes and tune-ups, that's
none of that is there. None of that, you don't have any of that.
Lots of extra savings.
I know. So, and they're coming down in price. So check them out. Yeah, I think you'll like it. Now listen, while we've been talking, the S&P has really tanked off of this 40 level, 39 and 40 level we talked about, and this is the beginning potentially of the top that we were looking for on the 17th, which is today is the on-time day. So we'll check that out. Dwayne, I know we've probably taken up a little more time than we need to today, but you know, get me started talking about electric cars, and you know, the program goes on for a really, really long time.
I have a couple
of
quotes.
Let's pop over there. Let's pop over there and take a look at the ES. Yeah, because we were looking for a little bit higher, and we didn't get it. We were looking, I'll be honest with you, we were looking for 42, and 41 is as far as it got.
Well, it's pretty close.
43 is that zone. Yeah, it's pretty close. True. Now, 30 last night, guys, that was an important area. Price came back, tested it, made the run. Now it's back testing this 30 again. So I would watch this really closely here. Does anyone have any news? Anybody watching the news? Did anything just happen?
Put up hourly? Can you change
this
the time?
This is hourly.
It is hourly?
Uh-huh. This is hourly right here. My charts are Globex. My charts begin at the top of the hour. If you're running a day session chart, yours begin on the half hour. So that if it looks different than yours, that might be the reason.
Yep.
You want to give us a quote?
I have a couple quotes. Okay. Even if the doctor does not give you a year, make one brave push and see what you can accomplish in a week. Robert Louis Stevenson.
I like that. That's good.
You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. Ralph Waldo Emerson. And finally, yesterday is ashes, tomorrow wood. Only today does the fire burn brightly. Eskimo proverb.
I really like all of those.
Yeah, I do too.
That's great. I would throw one in, which is not anything from any book or anything, but just to, you know, remember your purpose, even while you're, you know, watching a movie or having a fun time with somebody. Remember, encapsulate that in the bigger purpose in your life, which is to get really good at what we're trying to do, what you're trying to do with investment. Because once you have this, once you have the ideas and the concepts down, no matter whose method you use, once you have it, then you have something very powerful that you can put to work for the rest of your life. And don't let little distractions in life, you can enjoy the distractions, but remember your bigger purpose, which is to, you know, keep that in the back of your mind while you're having fun or whatever, that your bigger purpose is there. That drive, that backdrop will keep you on the boil, and you will zip ahead like a little guy in an electric car. You'll get ahead of the rest of the pack and be able to make some breakthroughs on your own, help you put together a strategy and a reality that you can actually do in your own life with this. And it helps in many, many other areas, not just, of course, financially, but that whole idea of keeping your purpose in mind, even while doing other things, will really serve you well. It's surprising how powerful it is that even while you're relaxing or having some fun with somebody, that your bigger purpose is still in the back of your mind, and that you're enjoying these things, but that bigger purpose is really there. That'll keep you on the boil and get you to places that many people, you know, many people are looking to only do a minimum amount of what they need to do, and they can't wait for the party. What you and I want to do is, the party is merely an interruption for us that we'll enjoy, but it's on our way. We're on our way to something else. We're not looking to the party as our savior. We actually want to get things done. We want to get through and learn how to do things and keep that. That's our main purpose. We're not afraid of hard work. We're not afraid of working through all this stuff, and that's our main purpose. The party and other enjoyments come along. That's fine, but our main purpose never is far from the backdrop of our mind, and as opposed to looking at the time off. We all know people, boy, they just want to do the minimal amount of work at the office, and they can't wait to get home and take their vacation. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's been me in the past. But in reality, I like the reverse of that. I like the idea that you can't wait to get back to work and get on with your purpose. And you can enjoy the time off. You can have a wonderful time with people and friends and doing things, but your bigger purpose is you're really on the boil getting these things done, rather than looking for the time off to be some kind of savior for you. You do deserve time off. Everybody does. But keep your main purpose in mind and let that that'll go to work all by itself and help direct you and so on. I want to thank everybody for their questions today. Dwayne, I'll be back tomorrow with you. Robin, thank you for the quotes.
And also remember to put your submission in for Sharpen Your Trading Performance to get your CD and go onto that link and find your distinctions. It's a great strategy that allows you to also integrate that into your trading and find your distinctions within your trading. So it's a concept within the it's a small concept within Sharpen Your Trading Performance that we pulled out to run this contest, and you could be a winner.
And it's a $400 prize, guys. It's a value of $400. Yep. And for anyone who came to the show late, I will grab that link and repost it here in just a moment as these guys are signing out. I'll repost that link so you can go. Now, remember, it looks simple, but it's not. We covered 10 differences just on during the Coach's Corner podcast on Friday. So just suffice it to say there's more than 10, okay?
Yep.
If you max out at 7 or 8, you're not going to win the prize. You're going to have to spend some time with this, okay?
Yeah, and
if you have any questions, call Robin. Give her a call.
Yeah.
What's
and
your
if
number?
If you want to resubmit more than once, you can with a new number. Like if because I'm going to post the person that has the highest number, and so and I'll do that after a couple days here. So you can repost a new you can submit more than one time. It closes June 30th at midnight. Your submission must be in, and if you have the most, you get the CD. And my phone number is 702-616-3744 if you have any questions and if you have any challenges in your coaching. Challenges in your trading.
You would have challenges perhaps in coaching but they would have problems in their challenges in their trading.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, Robin, what's your phone number again? 702?
702-616-3744. And thank you for your phone calls last week. We had a couple calls coming in, and hopefully I helped those guys out that were a little bit challenged with what was going on. If you did get some help and you would like to encourage people to call me, then write something tell them.
I just put your number in the chat box and your address. So, guys, give her a call, and I'll see both of you right back here. You're going to be off tomorrow. You'll be back.
I'll be in tomorrow morning.
You'll be here? Great.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks very much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Both then. Okay.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Take care.
I didn't notice what time.
Okay, guys, that's going to just about wrap it up for me. I got a few minutes to hang out. If you have any questions, look at this thing bounce, all right? I highlighted it. I pointed it out. And we'll talk about this for just a minute because this type of thing is very important. It happens over and over and over. Nothing mysterious, just how markets operate. And maybe I can shed a little light as to why in the next couple of minutes. Let me mute this so we don't have an echo, all right? Okay, let's look at this real quick. Hang on one second. Stand by, guys. Okay. All right. You know, in fact, somebody's in the chat box on the website. not aware there's a radio show. It's somebody that just, you know, stumbled in off the internet, as happens, and started firing some questions at me through the chat box. And so sometimes I try to juggle the show and the chat box, and that's good. But I wanted to – they had a – this person had a great question. They said, you know, we were having a little conversation. Okay, you guys are Christian, blah, blah. You know, that conversation comes up a lot. And so we talked about that for a moment. They said, that's really awesome. Okay, well, after the free trial, you know, if I want to stay on, what does it cost? And so I shared that with them and, you know, where you could go to find more information, as we do. And then he said, well, you know what? That's a lot of money. And it's only a 5-day free trial. You know, I've been ripped off before. Why only a 5-day trial? Okay. Now, why am I even bringing this up? I mean, this could only, there's no way this could not end well. There's no way this could end well for me, right? But I'm bringing it up because it's a very legitimate thing. I hear this day in and day out. I mean, you know, those guys ripped me off. They did this. They said that, whatever, you know, I cannot. In fact, we probably don't have a CFRN partner that, or there's very few that didn't come with a similar story. I got ripped off, I got burned, I got this, I got that. All right? Put on the brakes. Here's where we differ. Okay? We don't make any promises. We don't make any outlandish claims. We agree for 90 days to teach you what we know about trading e-mini futures and trading in general. We agree, we commit to you for 90 days. We make ourselves available via email, telephone, and private go-to meetings. We promise to teach you for 2 hours a day in the live trading room. We promise to show up every Thursday night for at least 2 hours. It usually turns into 3 for the workshop. And we give you access to the video library, and you get to keep the indicators for life. So with us, that's never an issue. See, the problem where people have with, you know, quote unquote, being ripped off by companies on the internet is that they make claims that they can't, you know, live up to. And so we just avoid that whole mess by not making any claims. We don't make any claims whatsoever, other than we trade live every day. We'll let you watch us trade live every day. We'll answer all your questions. We'll teach you everything that we know, and you get to keep the indicators when we're all done after 90 days. And after 90 days, if you want to stick around and keep hanging out with us, you can do that too. Okay? So, hang on, let me finish answering this question. Again, the only promise we make is to teach you what we know. Take the trial and then decide. It really is that simple, guys. And trust me, you don't think I don't know there's some thugs out there lurking in the back alleys behind the bushes and, you know, in the doorways on the way to Wall Street? Of course. It's legend. So be careful. You don't have to get your education from us. Good Lord. There are so many places you can get an education, learn how to trade. Some good, some not so good. You know, we think that we go above and beyond the call of duty by not only giving you a 5-day free trial where you can watch us trade live, we answer all your questions, but we actually give you our indicators to use for the full 5 days. This way, at the end of the free trial, you're actually able to make a well-informed decision as to whether or not what we do is right for you. And make no mistake, we know that what we do and how we do it is not what's right for everybody. That's why we do give you the 5-day free trial. And we really, really, really encourage when you take the free trial, don't be a passive spectator. Please roll up your sleeves and go to work. Get that platform downloaded. Okay. Get the indicators installed. Spend some time on the phone with Bert, toll free. Let him work with you. Make sure you got your charts set up properly, your data flowing properly, your indicators indicating. He'll do that for you, even though you're not a client of his. Now, of course, he wants to earn your business. Sure. And he'll work real hard to earn your business, and he'll work even harder to keep your business. Because he and Leslie, they're not in the business of churning clients like some firms. They want you to be a client not only today and next week, but 10 years from now. They've been around this business a long time. They're not just brokers. They're also traders. So when you call, they speak your language. That's why the relationship that we have with them is so beneficial for the CFRN partners. So for anyone in the audience who has gone through those bad experiences on the internet with chat rooms and gurus and all this other stuff, okay, we trade with both hands on top of the table. We invite you to come. No credit card required. The only commitment you have to make is to show up. Show up, download the platform, install the indicators, use the simulator to put on and take off trades and figure out whether or not what we do is right for you. And you know what? If it's not right, you're still welcome to come hang out on the radio show with us every day and ask questions and shoot the breeze and, you know, still be a part of our community. Just because you're not a partner doesn't mean you can't be a part of our community. Our doors are open to everybody. That includes every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern when we gather on the conference call for a short morning devotional and prayer. Everybody's welcome. Everybody. And if you have a prayer request or a praise report, or maybe you've got something in your spirit that you just want to share with the group, we'll gladly give you that opportunity. In fact, there's a standing invitation. I do Mondays. Paul does Tuesdays. Frank does Wednesday. Right now, Paul's jumping in on Thursday. We had a special guest on Friday, and I'm hoping she's going to come back again this Friday. She hasn't told me for sure, but I hope she does. So, all right. Now, let me get back over here and share this with you here. 1630. Okay. Okay. Price pulled back. Look what happened here. Now, again, let me just point out that last night on that tweet, I was begging people to get out of this trade at 1630. Begging. I said, I'll sleep better. Now, I tend to do that. I tend to be overly cautious when I put out these tweets, especially on a Sunday night. It's just a sweet little trade, you know, 5 points. I mean, hey, why tempt fate? But I know that some of you wanted to stay in that thing, and that's okay. I just feel better even when this happens, even when I say, hey, get out at 30 and the doggone thing runs to 41. You know, I could bemoan the fact that we left 11 points on the table, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to bemoan that. I stand by my decision. Hindsight's a perfect science, okay? Right? 2020. I don't have 2020 vision in the future. So, anyway, I encourage you to get out at 30. It ran up to a swing high here of 34.75, and then it pulled back to 30, okay? From 30, it made the run up to 41. David had a number at 40. Our weekly number was up at 42/43. Partners got that number this morning before the market opened. The weekly trading zones go out to the partners every Monday morning before the market opens. And then once they go out, they're carved in stone. They don't change for the entire week. Now, I mentioned earlier that we only have one more zone this week above 42.43. I was kind of thinking, now, this is another example of me not knowing what's going to happen next. I really don't, okay? And I make no bones about that. My thought was maybe this thing will hit 42 today, and then maybe tomorrow, you know, we'll do the dance with the highest weekly zone, and then we get a sell-off into the end of the week. That didn't happen, at least not yet. It came back to test 30, the important area. Now, it's easy to see it as important now after being tested, But why was it important last night? If you come to the live trading room tomorrow morning, I'll try and show you, okay? Come hang out with us for a little bit. If you've already taken the free trial and for whatever reason, you know, whatever. If it's been a while, you can't be a serial free trial taker. But if it's been a while since you took the free trial and you'd like another look, you want to ask some more questions, then, you know, just send us an email, support@cfrn.net. I took the trial, whatever, blah, blah. May I take it again? All right. And unless you've been profiled as a serial free trialer, then we'll probably just say yes. All right. So don't hesitate to ask. Now, broke through 30, pulled back to 30, ran to 41, came back to 30. Now, this is an hourly candle. So on an hourly candle, okay, it doesn't look like any big deal. But it is a big deal. Let me show you on a smaller time frame. Let's go to an ESM3. I don't have any indicators on this. Let me go on, and that's okay. Let me go. Oh, that's an ESM. We need to change that to ESU. Okay. All right. Now, 16:30. Stretch this out a little bit. Now look what happened. We pulled back. Let's just go left so we can see that 16:30 when we hit it the last time. There we go. See, here's where we hit it last night. This is where we broke above it initially. This is where we came back to test it. And test it and test it. You know, it'd probably be better if I just put a line across there. Let's do that. So you can really see this. This is a four tick range. I'm going to switch it up in a minute. I'm going to put it on like a minute chart. Because I don't want you to think there's anything mystical or magical about the four tick range. It's a number that works well for us for a number of reasons. And if you come into the live trading room, Michael can explain to you. A lot of it has to do with the risk. Okay, we're able to risk by using the four-tick time frame, four-tick range. Now, not just a tick. Tick charts and range charts are two different things. It's a little confusing that they call it a four-tick range. I wish they would have given it a different name. But anyway, we're able to use 8 ticks of risk on every trade. So here's the break above 30. Okay, see price oscillates back a little bit. Then it comes up, pulls back to 30. Makes a run to 34.75, comes back to 30, okay, makes a run up to 31, back to 30, back up to 31.75, yep, 31.75, 31.75, and then it makes that break right there as we're going right into the open this morning, okay. And that takes us up to the high of the day. And now here we are back at 16:30 again. Okay. Now we've fallen through 16:30 just as I'm talking. Okay. It came back, it hit 30, it put in a bounce up to 32.25. So this little bounce here, if your daily goal is a couple points, this bounce was good for 2.25. The drawdown was 1 point. If you were to have gotten in at 30, you had to draw down to 29. It went to 32.25. Now, this market has some serious momentum to the downside right now. I still don't see any news. Matt, that's the grace of God, my friend. That's all I can say. It really is. And, Pat, I'll shoot you an email here in just a minute with that information. Ed, I'm sorry I missed your question on the beans for David. If you'll bring that question back tomorrow, I'll be sure to ask him for you. Okay. Weeks ago, he stated, we won't see 16 beans for a long time, and now that we're November beans, which are around $2 to $3 less, what is a new price? You know, that's a great question, Ed. If you'll bring that question back tomorrow, I'll be happy to ask, okay? And Quok, what is the upside target of UNG? I'll be honest, that's not one that I follow, but what I'll do is tomorrow I'll bring up a chart of it, Quok, on the show, and we'll take a closer look at it. UNG, that is an ETF, correct? And I remember we pulled it up one day in the past. Jerry wants to know, where can the current ES break go to? Well, let's take a look. Okay, so this pullback to 30 gave us a 2.25-point bounce. But see, just looking at the hourly chart, you'd think there was no opportunity there at all. But the point I wanted to make was that a situation like this, even when the buyers fail, which they did, they came, I mean, there was some heavy momentum coming down, okay, but they tried to stop it. They tried to run it the other way. They couldn't do it. But their failure was still good for a couple points. So you look for those inflection points in the market where you have a reasonable degree of certainty or high probability that the buyers or the sellers, either one, will at least attempt to make a stand. And that's all they did here, is they attempted to make a stand at 1630, and they got slapped down pretty hard. So Jerry, now let's go take a look at your question. All right, just looking at this chart, guys, the question is, where might this break go that we're in right now? This thing has fallen from 38.75 all the way down. This thing has fallen 26, 30, what are we down, 12 points in an hour? I'm still not seeing any news. Does anybody have any news that I've somehow missed? Yeah, I got several news feeds going. I don't see anything that warrants a 12-point sell-off in an hour. 1625, where we chose to get long last night on that tweet, Jerry, now that 30 has given away, and now that this swing low right here, see, that was a critical area too, right there. Let's go take a look at that on the smaller time frame, and let's see if it anything at all. Let me draw the line. 1634. Okay, that number is 1629. Let's go to the 4-tick range. Okay, see, 1629, that's the number. Remember when I said if you got in at 30, you had a one-point drawdown? That's what they were doing, is they were bouncing off of that. The 29 actually turned out to be the more important number than the 30. See, this is the 29. This is the 30. Now let's go back to the hourly. See, they were bouncing off of that low right there. So if you were trading it with that in mind, from 29, you actually had a 3.25-point bounce. But that gave way as well. Now we're hitting 25. If 25 doesn't hold, the next thing we have, if we look left, we've got this little swing low right here. Let's take a look at that. Okay. What's that number? The swing low there is 23.25, okay? So first, I'm going to look for 25 to hold. I'm going to look for buyers to at least try to make a stand. Because last night, for 3 hours, the market could not break above 25. And then in that fourth hour, it finally did. Actually, you had 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. In the fifth hour, it finally managed to break. So that makes this area fairly important. I would expect buyers to attempt to make a stand here. And so what does that mean? It means it's probably good for some kind of a little bounce. Let's go over here where we can actually see it. Let's go 1625. Sometimes the pressure will be just too much. And as you can see, this looks kind of like a train you don't want to step in front of. But nonetheless, I've got to believe that there will at least be an attempt. And we could argue that there already has been an attempt, not much of one. From 25, they were able to push it up to 26 and a quarter. But we're slicing right through that thing, man. Slicing right through it again. So now, Jerry, as a partner, you've got the weekly trading zones, okay? Below us, you got to take a look at the next number coming up. And we're dealing with one. We're in the area right now, okay? So this whole area right here, which is highlighted by this box, I would expect this area to hold, unless there's really something unusual happening. This area should hold, and this area, let me just drag this box all the way across. This box, this area, should be good for some kind of a bounce. If we take this area out, the potential then becomes a 10-point drop, roughly. Okay? Now we got to come look at the swing low from Friday. That's important. Okay. Remember we sold off into the close on Friday? For those of you that were with us in the coach's corner, we had a little trade Friday on the long side, and it did okay, but then it got slapped right. It was right here, and then I got slapped down. Okay, and this is where we ended up. Now, this is not a weekly trading zone here. This is simply the swing low on Friday. So if this area gets broken, the next stop would be right here, where buyers are going to attempt to make a stand here. Then I expect them to make a stand or attempt to make a stand here. And then below that, we've got the next weekly zone. And Jerry, I know you've got the zones, so there you go. And if it were later in the week, guys, I would just put the zones on. You know, by Wednesday, I'm putting them on the chart anyway. And if you want the zones, come take a free trial. If you've already taken a free trial, take another one. All right? But don't be a serial free trial taker. At some point, you just got to make a commitment. Fair enough. All right, let me go to, Kyle says that the Business Insider, which, by the way, I have that on my iPad. It's part of my Flipboard. If you have an iPad, you really need to have the app Flipboard. And then in Flipboard, you can tell it all the different news feeds and websites that you have an interest in. And it's just like having your own glossy little magazine that you can thumb through. Almost, I would say 90% of the time when I open my iPad, I'm going to Flipboard. Well, I usually stop and check my email, and then it's to Flipboard. Because all the different things that I have an interest in, I've compiled them all together inside of the Flipboard app. It just makes it so convenient. And Business Insider is one of them, Kyle. And Business Insider just said, hang on, there's a bunch of comments, and now I lost you. Business Insider says there are taper fears making the markets jittery. Now, I believe I said something along those lines early this morning in the trading room that stocks were running up, or at the beginning of the radio show, that stocks were running up ahead of the Fed, but that I would think traders would be concerned because 7 out of 10 economists say that come fall, the Fed's going to start easing up on all this easy monetary policy that we've sort of gotten accustomed to over the last few years. So I would think that would have worried the markets, not given them a reason to rally. So maybe that's what this is. Maybe the markets were just slow to react to the obvious. I don't know. And Eugene says, Dwayne, the FT headline that the Fed is likely to signal tapering is what moved, or that the tapering is close is what moved the S&P 12 points. That's what I heard. Well, Eugene, I think you're right. I think you and Kyle both have nailed it right there. I'm just curious. Oh, Alan also had typed in, article came out saying the Feds will tighten soon. So there you go. Thanks, guys. That appears to be the consensus that an article, the article this morning that 7 out of 10 economists, that didn't do the trick, but the article that came out this afternoon, maybe whoever wrote it or wherever it was published, or maybe just the time of day that it came out, that hit hard and people took it serious. And now the markets. And if this is what happens on a rumor that the Fed may taper, imagine what will happen if the Fed actually says he's going to taper. When we get the wording of the announcement on Wednesday, imagine if they actually say we plan to start tapering this fall. Then again, sell the rumor, buy the fact. That's a possibility too. All right, let me see if there's anything else in the chat box that I've missed. What does FT stand for? That's Financial Times. That's out of the UK. Correct, Eugene? Isn't the FT Financial Times, doesn't that come out of London? Yes, Eugene said that's correct. And Kyle, if you use Flipboard, that's one of the feeds that's available under the business section, Financial Times. Okay, so we know, we think we know why the ES sold off. And while it did give us a 2.25-point bounce here at our important number, 1630, we sliced right through it on the hourly candle. We've gotten down to an area now that, without me coming right out and saying it, I think everybody has probably figured out why it's an important area. That seems to be trying to hold, okay? Let's see. And then below that, we have the swing low from Friday. Okay. I think someone in the chat room used the term jittery, and I would say that while when the markets are jittery like this, now it can, that can a jittery market can create opportunity, but can also do other, you know, weird things. So if you're going to trade, be careful. Use a hard stop. All the stuff I would normally tell you. It's just that when things like this are afoot, I encourage you to use extra caution. Just like last night, I was extra cautious at 1630, and that cost some of you 11 points. I'm sorry. Maybe you just want to use me to get in a trade and not get out. That's okay. It won't hurt my feelings. I'll be all right. Quang says, should we buy below 1623? Should you buy below 1623? Did you mean sell? Oh, you meant should you sell below 23? Okay, here's what I would want to see, Quang. That's a great question. If we break 23, what I would want to see is perhaps we break 23 and then we pull back, and then that area holds as resistance, and so we catch it on the way down. In other words, for argument's sake, let's say that's 23. Okay? And let's say price breaks below 23. Let's see if we can do this a little better. Come on. All right. Price breaks below 23. Then price pulls back. and it becomes obvious that this area is going to be to serve as good resistance. Why is it obvious? Because price then does this. And where would I like to be short? There's two places you can be short on a move like that. One is here. You have less confirmation, but less risk, because your stop loss has got to be possibly here, okay? So if you get in here, you've only got a risk to here. If you want more confidence in the trade, then you're going to take this break here. Remember, price broke down through the number, pulled back to the number, found resistance, and then continued the move down. The initial move, the pullback, the continuation of the move. If you're trading the continuation of the move and a break of the swing low, your risk, unfortunately, really should be up here. Can you get away with putting it here? You can. Yeah. It's a matter of choice. Okay. So you can enter here. Or here. And that's just with the argument that this is 23. If that's an important number, price breaks through, pulls back, continues down. Stop loss has got to be here or here. Now, the other solution to that conundrum is to go here. And then once price breaks through 23, let me go find... Where's my other four-tick range chart? That's 4 hours. That's 1 hour. That's 1 hour. I seem to have lost my four-tick range chart. I don't have one set up right now. But what I was going to say is you wait for the break of 23, if that's the number, and then you use the slingshot to take the short trade based on all the criteria that we see over and over and over and over again each morning in the live trading room. You're still taking the slingshot trade to the short side. It's just that you now have a bigger picture reason for doing it. See, in the live trading room each morning, we're just taking every setup that comes down the pipe, like an assembly line, boom, 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 boom. That's one way of doing it, okay? And that's the way that allows us the opportunity to show you the most trade setups every single day in the live trading room. Does that mean you have to trade that way every trade that comes down the pike? No. But when you're learning, you should, so that you get really good at spotting the setup, identifying the setup, because you're going to be in the simulator until you're consistently profitable anyway. Right? Right? Promise? That's how it has to be if you're going to succeed long term. You got to stay in the simulator until you're consistently profitable. Once you're consistently profitable, you only go live with one contract, right? Right? Right. Okay? Once you make a grand, you go to two. Make another grand, go to three. You know the routine, all right? So, are there any other questions about anything else? If not, I've been sitting in this chair for quite a few hours. I'm going to get up and move about. Going once and going twice. Tell you what. No, if you're typing, just stop typing and type in typing. That way I don't run off on you. You know what? I'll be at my desk for another few minutes anyway after I sign off. So if you ask a question, I'll just type you in an answer. I'll leave this chart up and running. I'll leave this little mishmash here for the moment, but then I'll take it down after the market's closed because it'll be confusing tomorrow. But those of you who just saw me put it up, you know what it stands for. Okay. And did we get that bounce? We did. Did it bounce off the number? It did. How far? Far. Pretty far. Oh, me. All right. I guess I'm done. My work here is done. All right. Hey, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. Living.